is on hold.
I can't even remember myself.
Yeah, well, it was going to be, Gary had requested it. If you want it, you know, I guess we can provide it.
I just wanted to make sure I understood what the issue was.
I just have one.
Trying to remember myself.
Sorry. I didn't bring any.
What's going on?
It was over.
We're at F-bomb. We're at 2.6 on 14 July. I forgot to take it off a hold. Sorry.
And then,
give him a thrash.
2.2.7, spear debris clogs. NWW will draft some language to be included in the fish passage plan. Please review this. I'm adding that one paragraph below. Gary Frederick suggested adding comments or the project to the side if they have a an abnormal amount of debris in front of the RSWs that is hindering or impeding passage of juvenile fish. We went to do an immediate spill or take actions to make an immediate spill to remove that debris in front of the RSW, just the same way that we would do if debris was was plugging up an orifice in the juvenile collection gallery. I went a step further and said, I want to make sure that FPOM knows about this, and it will be reported to FPOM and, of course, also RCC. Probably RCC first and then FPOM, that we are going to be doing this activity.
Well, what do they do? They open an adjacent bay or two all the way?
Well,
how do you deal with that?
This is what the way that they did it at Lower Granite was pretty simple. They had to, there was a big log right to the side of the RSW and a lot of debris in front of the RSW, if you remember right. We closed the RSW about 12:30, and they cut the long log out. I mean, they had to, probably had to cut, close the RSW plus probably the adjacent bay there.
I remember the emails on that.
Yeah. So they had to do that. Once they finally cut the log, they started spilling for trash about 1,300. So for about 30 minutes, it took a little period of time to cut that log out. Getting smaller piece. It was an over 60 foot long, let's say 3 foot diameter log, if I remember correctly. They closed down three and they opened up spill bay two. They flushed most of it out through bay number three by 1340.
They do that by just lifting it all the way so that it has surface.
Yeah, you'd lift.
Surface level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't want the logs to hit the the gates. So they reopened the RSW about 1345. And then they closed down three, and then they opened up two, which is right next to the RSW, and flushed the remainder of the trash out. So, and then BPA requested a 20K increase in spill by about 1450. So from about 1230 to 1450, the trash was out, and 1440 spill was back to normal.
So what's your intent here, to notify first or to do first and notify?
To do first and then notify.
I'm not sure it says
that. That is, since it's a sub-paragraph below, is to do first and then notify if it's a severe amount of debris in the forebay blocking that RSW.
Yeah, Greg, that's okay with me.
So, Greg, is this going to be added? So this is just going to be to what project, this change?
I think, we're looking at the two top, at least, the two top projects.
This is for
granted
use.
Uh-huh. Because they get the most debris. And it's important to keep those spill bay weirs open, I feel, most of the time. I mean, there's a prime source passage.
Well, I think it should be at any of them, really.
Well, we can do that quite easily.
You've got a situation that's blocking a primary passage route. Mm-hmm. You need to get it out of there.
Let's move it to primary passage route at all projects, then.
It's TSW, RSW.
I could see it definitely at McNary.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking here.
And then what happened downstream of that? John Day.
A bad deal to have a bunch of brush in front of the TSW and not take it out of there.
Yes. So that's... you can see section 5.1, I just literally lifted that out of the FPP. And I said I was going to start working on that part, but then I said, you know, this is a little bit different than the special spills or anything else we have to do, and just in case. I wanted to highlight that this is actually an emergency spill.
Right.
So that's the wording I used.
You just added this section. You didn't change 5.1.
I did not change 5.1.
Right.
5.1 will...
This is a new piece of it, then.
Mm-hmm.
That's one paragraph with the rationale.
And we'll add it to every project.
So can we resolve this one here today? I mean, is there enough people here to vote on this? Or
is there feelings one way or the other with Oregon?
Oregon, Washington, Fish and Wildlife. Tom's not here. He's gonna.
I want to make sure that it's really an emergency situation and not something that's just gonna kind of become more routine.
I concur with you on this, and that's why I remained or kept that first part of the paragraph 5.1. I concur. If this is something that was just as drastic as we saw at Grant. The comments that came back last month, everybody was talking about, hey, this is almost like an orifice plugging. I mean, we found debris in the RSW that could have had detrimental effect, probably did have detrimental effect on the fish.
Well, it can do one of two things. It can either cause damage to the fish directly or it can cause them to go elsewhere.
So, I mean, it's going to be a qualified judgment.
Yeah.
It will be.
It's up to the project biologist.
And the biologist we put in, it's not the operator alone, it's not the chief of operations alone.
No, it needs to be the project biologist.
It's got to have project biologist concurrence.
Whoever's the guy.
And then they'll...
The only thought I have is that it might, for the first year or two, we might get a reporting back on how often it happens.
Yeah.
So
we
get a pulse of what, you know, the frequency and...
You will... That day, you will receive a report from...
Well, what I mean is... An after-action report kind of thing where you look
put
back
it in the weekly report.
Something.
Put it in the weekly report, and that'll be in the annual report.
Some sort of a summation like of those. I just read to you about what they did, then, in other words.
I was thinking of just a look back and, you know, a summary. Like, it could be a one-page summary of what happened over the past
year.
Season.
Well, okay, just to not make extra work, you guys are doing your weekly reports weekly.
Yeah.
And you do an annual report.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just have a section in there that covers that?
I don't think that would be too much of a problem to do.
So that's the vehicle.
We haven't had too many of those.
Well, we've had two this year.
Two? But I mean...
But, you know, that's not that many that make a little chart to say we spilled between this time and that time.
Paragraph and the weekly report.
Paragraph.
Yeah.
Or the annual report, whatever
want. Tally
if you want to
just
specify.
I don't ever look at those, so that doesn't help me.
Well, I'm just trying to get you to look at them. If you want something, you're going to have to go find it.
What Greg said is pretty consistent. I mean, it seems like you'll have one or two of those every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the magnitude of it.
Mm-hmm.
Flows come up.
Debris come downstream.
Yeah, there's pretty much guaranteed to be a granite goose.
Or right after the peak of the flow.
Right after the peak of the flow, and then...
And it comes.
And then it comes. So
yeah,
it's pretty much one or two.
McNary could be a little bit more.
It could be a little bit more. And
uh-huh.
When was the last time we had one there? We didn't have one last year, did we?
Hopefully,
but, you know, it's strange.
I mean, they're very good at passing debris, so...
Yeah, those TSWs are.
If it is, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So, build up a lot of junk.
Great.
Okay, so...
Okay, we'll add...
We'll make sure we add that to the weekly and the annual report. Send out an email anytime it happens.
Definitely.
And we'll see how that goes. If you need more of a tally, then ask.
Thank you. So then we're in concurrence. Dave?
Yeah. Yep.
And Noah has it too. Thank you. Thank you, Billen. We'll do that. Last update. 2.2.8. McNary unused fishway entrances. Again, this is those side entrances that face into the spill bay area. Unfortunately, McNary's running out of money for that project, and they're not going to be doing it right this time. Those spill bays are closed. Those entrances are closed, but they wanted to have a more permanent closure to them. But the team is still together. As soon as they get more money, they want to make a permanent closure on that place. So they won't be doing it this year.
They just have bulkheads in there, right?
They just have a bulkhead in there right now, cement bulkhead.
Is there any problem with that? Or
it's starting to fall apart, the structure.
They bang.
They bang.
That's they need to be closed. What's your...
Just like it happened at Goose and Granite.
We need to cement close those things. It's a little ball.
And we've got some at Bonneville. And,
yeah. Yeah. I remember that from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some at Bonneville that are banging around right now, too. It'd be nice to get closed up.
It's happening at Bonneville, too?
Well, it's the old, it's entrances to the old fish locks are clanging and banging constantly at the high tail waters. And it's
there is plans in the, the spillway reconfigure
rehab
to fill all those fish lock bulkheads in with permanent concrete.
Oh, good.
So replace all the...
Yeah, this is really noisy.
Yeah.
This probably doesn't schedule on detailing how much time it would take. Okay. Well,
that's the thing.
Still done that.
They could have done that, but I asked a number of times. Let me have the days, dates, etc. Right. Time wise. I didn't receive that information.
Okay, so I guess we'll carry it on until
we'll carry it.
Because I don't think there's an issue of doing it. It's just more of when.
Yeah, it's more or less actually doing it in the time involved, and I want to make sure they do it within the right period of time.
Right, that's also. In water work.
Yeah, we don't really need to carry it over, but when we get more
into
it.
You don't have to carry it over, but if you do see that there's an issue with when, if they need to do this outside of in water work period, then we need to know about it.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I think you got a clear go ahead to do it.
Yeah, right. You just got to pick the right time.
Yep, pick the right time, indeed.
I want to have the money to do it.
And money.
Well, that, yes.
You have it together?
I assume you have that.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
So for updates, looks like the turbine for Walla Walla, the cooling water strainer update is at the FPOM website on TMT.
As usual.
So you can still...
Oh, you're not going to give it?
I'm not.
No.
That was Mr. Dyche's favorite one. So
Tim's gone these days, so is the update.
Sorry, you have to read it. That's where it's going to go.
I've been waiting for
that. Well, you could look it up on the web and read it to us.
Okay, I'll go to the web.
Except this says 2010 instead of 11 on it.
Uh-oh.
That's just to get you lost, I guess.
Does it matter?
So is there a transportation update right now?
The question is, today is 14 July. The summer FOP says we will start transport at McNary somewhere between, somewhere whenever TMT and FPOM decide, somewhere between 15 July and 31 July. We haven't heard a decision from TMT yet.
Hasn't been discussed.
Hasn't been discussed.
So let's get that on the agenda. When's your next face-to-face?
Wednesday.
2 weeks? Wednesday. Next Wednesday is a face-to-face?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should talk about it here before.
Question is.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to start transport this year? Is there a reason to or not to use transport this year?
Yes. No.
Is there generally a reason for subrelay transport? Probably not.
Brad.
Bubba.
We'll go with the flow, whatever goes on with whatever's going on. John, how many days in advance notice do you need for spooling up?
Contractually, we need 3 days, but as a practical matter, because fish are being picked up on the way down from Granite, we just tell them a day or two beforehand. They just make a stop. But contractually, I have to give them 3 days' notice.
Well, we're talking about barge transport at this point.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, every other day, barge transport.
This is at McNary.
At McNary only. We are continuing transport at...
Same old issue.
Yeah.
What's Four the Snake Rivers.
What's the transport?
Fish at McNary are picked up the next day after the barge leaves Granite. So
until the bypass is in, continue transport.
The barge will arrive at McNary the following day after.
Until the bypass pipe is in, we will transport.
What was that again?
Until the bypass pipe is in, the new bypass pipe.
When's that going to be in?
Next year.
So
one more year.
Yeah.
So do you want to start every other... as soon as possible, or bring it to TMT, or you need 3 days' notice. So
that's been our our rollover stance until we see the bypass in.
Okay.
So I would go by the dates that we've done in the past and roll it over.
Roll it over then. That's F Palm recommendation. Do we need to wait
for
it?
Well, that's just what I said.
Okay.
Rick could probably say don't do it at all.
I'm not going to.
I don't see a lot of benefit in it. It's just that we've set up the construct that as long as there's a bad bypass.
Turn the recorder off for a minute.
As long as there's a bad bypass, then
it's off.
We should do what we can to improve the survival of those fish. If you want to short haul them to the middle of the river and dump them, I'd be okay with that.
But Oregon is not going to rock the boat here today.
On that issue. Well, yeah, I'm not going to argue either.
Well, it just says it's going to be initiated sometime between the 15th and the 30th, based on NOAA Fisheries coordination and TMT.
Right.
So.
When did we do it last year?
I don't know the date.
There's your date.
I can't remember.
Whatever last year it is.
I don't know whether any other reason. Possible. I mean, I know they're seeing numbers of fish move out yet.
It was about the 22nd.
Then
we started daily bypass on TMT's daily recommendation.
We started daily transport when it got warm.
Well, now that's another issue.
What was
that daily versus every other day, and that came up kind of in mid-season last year.
Well, there's the fall Chinook study going on, so
right.
I can't speak to the specifics of the effect if we didn't start sooner rather than later.
I can't either.
That is a factor.
Right. And that's been kind of a driving factor for doing the transport over the last
two years. Sort of if we just stick with what used to be, unless I find out something different, it would be my recommendation.
Roll over last year, and then it's also the every day or every other day issue is also. I know that was argued last year. I wasn't part of the argument, so I don't remember all the details, but I know others were. I think Tom was maybe very much involved in that, so he should probably have a say.
Yeah.
So well, do you have a date in mind then? So what I heard was rollover from last year.
I don't know. If you guys talk about
that. Let's bring it up to TMT.
I'd like to have TMTs.
I mean, there's no strong objection from FPOM.
No.
There's no recommendation either way.
No recommendation either way. So it says TMT will make a decision. So.
Yeah.
Put on the agenda.
TMT review
it. April 20th.
That's a good point, yeah. So no objection from O&M, and TMT will be the final say. And
We'll
have different folks in there. Paul Wagner can state our position.
I can't either.
Good morning, this is Russ.
Hey, Russ.
Talking about me?
Yeah, we were. Now we're going to have to talk about somebody else.
Indirectly. we're talking about initiation.
Yeah, I've been listening.
Oh, okay.
Just to give an update is that the last couple of years that we at EPA have gone along with the request to start the transport out of McNary earlier than later so that we could get some of the snooker or transportation evaluation study fish on the barges from McNary. Has been the decision. And it's one with the way this year's shaping up, I'm not going to be strong one way or the other, but one, I'd like to find out, how many fish do we really get? Is it going to really be able to provide us enough information to be worthwhile? Obviously, we're looking at a year that likely is going to be.
Russ, when has that ever been an issue?
What?
I don't think we've ever had enough fish to make a difference.
I mean, when has it ever not been an issue?
Yeah, not an issue. Yeah, because I doubt that we've had enough fish. We will ever have enough fish returning from those to make a decision. And
why are we
the decision has been based mainly on the fact that we are concerned with the outfall being a poor place to put fish.
Right. That's so, a big factor.
Yeah. I mean, from my standpoint, if you put the fish in the barge, moved into the middle of the river, and released them below McNary, you've accomplished our rationale, our reason for doing it, our objective.
but that's kind of silly.
That's sort of, you know. It's an idea, but...
Well, I'm not pushing that idea, but that's...
Get part up and go to war over either way.
Yeah.
Well...
And I think we're kind of along the line. If 8 worked out well, that, you know, we still have this small Chinook study, so there's some justification there. Yes, but you want those specifically from an area, but it does add to the...
It does.
Group.
Yeah.
And so it helps out a little bit there.
Yeah, that was one of the arguments.
Right. And then, you know, folks are concerned about the bypass outfall location, especially for summer migrants when things warm up and predators get more active.
Right.
So, I think rolling over what we did last year for those reasons is a reasonable recommendation from FBOM that that FPAC could carry to TMT.
Okay.
So, can this be initiated just on our recommendation, FBOM's recommendation?
I don't think so, no.
That's to TMT? TMT?
Yeah, it's a system thing.
It's stated TMT. In the FOP, NOAA, and
TMT.
TMT.
Okay.
So can you plan on starting this by next Friday? If they have TMT on Wednesday.
Well, what about having,
3 days?
Having a plan to be ready to start Wednesday if TMT approves it?
Wednesday of next week?
Uh-huh.
We could plan
to
do
we're
it.
Interested in having it start as early as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're probably not going to get an objection at TMT because we're all agreeing to it here.
Yeah. The agencies are
so
all here.
So just plan for it to start on as soon as you can after TMT
Call. Send us an email. That's all
what
you need.
What time does the barge normally get
so,
there?
Doug, can you follow through on this?
I would just encourage folks to continue. I mean, as you've indicated, all the TMT reps are here, but
it's not all, but
predominantly. And so, I guess
TMT
I would
is
encourage
this, tomorrow or no, week, next, week, week, yeah. Wednesday.
Next week.
John, what is Wednesday next week an even day or an odd day?
Something new comes
to light. We have a calendar days this week.
Wednesday of next week is a 20th even.
So it's an even day. So then
it's a 20th?
20th.
Yeah.
So then
that would be a transport day.
At the Snake River Project.
Yeah,
the next day.
One Magnaria. 21st.
It would be the 21st.
Okay. Perfect.
There you are.
Okay.
That worked.
Now the issue of every day or every other day, that I'd like to have Tom's
That's sort of
opinion on that thing.
That's sort of beyond FBOM's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Operations and the of the project.
Well, it did come here. I think it was discussed here last
year. And then the other recommendation is that I would say that we should be ready to go, but wait till after the TMT meeting next week before we start.
We just decided that, Russ.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's for every other day transport.
Okay.
And if there's going to be a change to everyday transport, we need to have a conversation.
We need a conversation.
So the first day of transport at McNary will be the 21st, unless something comes out of TMT.
Right.
Doug will
comes up with something else.
Right. We'll collect on the 20th.
I don't know why we would.
And transport on 21st, and Doug will send an email or call to Greg. And
I guess I would just ask folks, since that does somewhat initiate, if we initiate collection on the 20th, that somewhat, in a way, is kind of overstepping. It's making an assumption.
Would you normally start collection after the count is done in the morning?
We can do that. We can do a split collection, split sample.
You know, they can do a split sample that day, no problem. They usually would start at 0700 in the morning.
That's what I mean. So at 0700 in the morning on the 20th would be when they would start to collect.
Right.
Right.
So if we can discuss this at FPAC Tuesday, make a recommendation to the chair of TMT, you can send an email out to
the
TMT
world.
Members, and if there's an objection, get it back. Otherwise, start collecting Tuesday morning.
And if we get a negative push on that thing, we're collecting
the Wednesday morning. I'm sorry, Wednesday morning.
The 20th.
Yeah.
20th.
Wednesday morning, Wednesday during the day, we get a negative. No fish transport. We got fish in a raceway ready to go. We're going to have to dump those.
That was
lost. Right. No. That's true.
No, you're not going to collect fish until you get the chair of TMT contacting you on Tuesday or Wednesday or Monday afternoon to say start collecting.
9 or 10 o'clock in the afternoon.
If not, you're not collecting.
Can I throw something out? Can it happen if we were to contact you at, let's say, 9:30 or 10 a.m. on Wednesday?
We can start collecting that day at that time, yeah. They can drop the screen shortly after that.
First agenda item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, shortly after you call, we can have the project drop the screens and change locations of fish.
So just have that the first item.
Maybe 30 minutes before they go from one primary or whatever collection system.
We would just have a split sample.
It would be a split sample, so it wouldn't be a problem.
We'll call you by 9:30 on Wednesday the 28th.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Okay.
Thank you for the caveat. You are well-versed. Well-versed.
Okay.
Okay, so that wraps up Walla Walla updates.
Thank you.
There he is.
Say yes.
Say yes twice.
Say yes twice. For the record, Tom Lars.
No and maybe.
I'm not going to object, and I don't like it, but.
What are you breaking this time? What have you broken?
This is McNary Transport of Suburlings.
Still? Paul's wound.
There's a weather to do it, which everybody said yes, but I brought up the issue of your every other day versus every day thing from last year.
Yeah.
So right now the plan is FPAC's going to meet on Monday and then or Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning the first agenda item is going to be transport, and then
we'll give the recommendation.
You give the thumbs up, and then they're going to start collecting and transport the next day from McNary.
Oh, excellent.
But I guess the only twist I'd add to that, did you say that first agenda item at TMT?
Right.
9 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
First thing we do.
All right.
And then call and they start.
Be prepared for a lively discussion.
That's every other day to start.
That's right. Every other day to start.
Yep. And we know you guys like truck transport.
I think you know we do.
Okay. So we can move on to Portland updates. So on the phone, I've got Shane, Scott, Bill Hevlin, Steve Richards. I think I heard Dave Statler join us, and Russ. Anybody else?
Is Dave on the line?
Dave, are you on there?
He wasn't going to get on until I called him.
I thought I heard it. Okay. of course, Tom just joined us. Okay. Way to go, Tom.
What'd you do with Tammy?
I shipped her off.
I would.
Put her in the crazy house.
Send her south.
San Diego.
Just like you just sent her Walla Walla.
Touche. All right, Portland updates. 3-2-1, mid-season ROV inspection scheduled. John Day in Bonneville. Any issues with this and the Dalles? What's the update, guys?
John Day might be August 2nd. That's what we penciled in. But Miro's going to have to deal with that when he comes back, whether he wants second, fourth, or fifth. Probably doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bonneville, 3 August on?
Yep.
Dalles, 3 August?
Yes.
Any issues with that? No. Okay, move on. 3-2-2, Bonneville Powerhouse 2 fish screens. This week, the rivers finally dropped down. Looks kind of clean, so they installed STSs in the units 18 and 13. You got an update on how 13's performing?
I got an update on 18.
18?
It was about 0.5 differential on VBSs this morning.
And that's been in since Monday, right? Monday afternoon?
Well, VBSs there got cleaned yesterday, so we kind of started yesterday with
clean slate.
What we're doing in a 24-hour period, so, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. I figured it would be.
Yeah, so that,
we're getting down there.
I think should be able to put the rest of them in next week.
Okay, next week.
18,
okay.
What are they in?
Well, we're going to do 12, but 12 out this week, so that's going to be kind of
close.
Oh, so technically they are in 12, but 13 is the other one that's operating.
18 is, okay, that's going to be the worst one.
That's
so.
The dirty one? The dirty screen.
Yeah.
That's the dirty unit.
So that should be maintainable, and I think there's already an outage schedule. Either Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, good. Yeah, as soon as possible.
Okay.
Great. Okay, thanks.
So the criteria for that was based on cable drawdown in the fish units was what was driving the go, no-go for the screens?
Yeah,
that's what the reinstallation. I'm wondering about that a little bit. That's something to talk about maybe in another day, but we have so much debris built up on those fish units that may or may not reflect what's going on down the powerhouse, especially down on the other end of the powerhouse, because of the eddy in front of there, that I'm wondering if that's the correct criteria to tie this reinstallation to.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the one we went with because it's small.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we were kind of trying to use everything. That's the way it's in the FBP, but we're
it is.
Trash racks, and we're looking at turbidity and just trying to...
That's what I, when I was out there Friday, I thought, you know, the screens are up, but I was looking at the river, and I just didn't see a reason for it. And even though we were still having daytime issues with the fish units, that's probably due to the pile of debris that we have out front there. Yeah, so,
for what it's worth, we raked those this morning.
Yeah, okay, good, good. So got some of that debris out of there.
Hopefully, I don't know. I didn't hear what they got. But it's just an issue. It's hard to rake. They don't get much off.
Clamshell is probably a better way to go to get that stuff out of there.
We don't have a means of doing it on site.
And barging.
I talked to those guys yesterday about trying to get it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because talking with Dean and that, he didn't see much debris down at the JBS for a long time.
No, it's been, yeah, I just don't know. That's that the tying it to the fish units I'm a little uneasy with. So we may have to come up with some other criteria.
Okay.
Cool.
Review that.
The strain in the river.
Review the protocol and the fish passage plan for installing.
Yeah, that's
maybe not
put
use
that on
fish
the,
units.
Or not use them solely. Use
right,
other
use those and mm-hmm. others. Besides river below flow.
Turbidity and just
turbidity. Professional judgment.
Which way is the river going, up or down?
Right.
That sort of stuff.
Forecast.
Yeah.
Temperature.
Temperature. Star alignment.
Dipping
phase of the moon.
Dipping burn in the river and see what he comes up with.
Yeah. See how far I sink.
Yeah, exactly.
And you said
what's that?
Go ahead for planet alignment. And then
there you
phase
go.
Of the moon, too.
I think solar flares.
Where did you say VVS is? What about the traveling screens begin.
Fishing platforms.
Yeah, EBSs are all still.
Our platforms still.
So we just don't get our rebuild alarm without the STS.
Okay. So we're trying to get back to our normal operating with all screens installed. Yes, 323 is the Bonneville, Washington Shore Weir 34 grading. I got a picture for people like myself who don't know what a grading is. And where it is.
Yeah, it's stuck there.
So the question here is, it blew out. They got it with a grappling hook, and it's now tied to the rail. So it's the installation. How important is it to install? Washington Shore hasn't come down for another 2 years. It's just watered up. And so the issues with that is fish could get in there, but... I mean...
It's a supply.
But they can also get out, but I don't know the details of, you know, it'd have to be an emergency dewater and then install it.
It would be good to have a schematic of the area of this diffuser pit and where this goes.
Yeah.
What you don't want is for adults to have access to the entire AWS system. Because
they don't. They don't.
That's what these guys explained to me, but... That doesn't tell you that.
So how much access do they have?
Cool. I just brought the picture for you.
It would be nice to know how much access they had. Yeah.
Send it down to Dave. I brought it for Dave.
They can only get in that pit.
It's in the pit underneath.
So just that one pit?
Yeah, so it's open. They could go down. They wouldn't, I don't think, because there's no water coming out of it.
Yeah.
But if they did, they would just go down somewhere and come back out.
It's in sockeye, though.
Yeah. I mean, they might, but it's... The only thing that made us feel better about it was the fact that it wasn't tied to the AWS, yeah. Just the way the design is over there. And it wouldn't be unless we got another tailwater of 32 feet, probably.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that one. I'm just wondering if that one blew off. Are you guys going to do an ROV in that area to see if anything else has happened to juggle loose?
Can't really do an ROV there unless we take the ladder down. It's just too much.
That's what I was afraid of.
Too much flow.
Because if you have one blow off, what's the chance other ones are...
But you can sound them.
Just lock them.
Yeah. You can sound them with a lead.
So is there enough pressure coming out of there where the fish just don't want to go in here? Or is it?
Well, actually, probably no pressure at this stage. So there's probably no incentive for fish to go, and there's no place for them to go if they want.
So you're saying the risk is low.
The only thing I can see is...
Or some Alden. It's a lamprey problem, children.
Yeah, yeah. It's just going to be a pit down there. We know we get
lamprey
underneath there. Once they find an open hole in a dark spot, they'll crawl in and just stay.
Lamprey get in there anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say,
That grading is, that's not the
grading. The grading's not lamprey size.
Grading, so lamprey are probably going in and out of there anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not. This just makes it easier. Hopefully they're not too excited about going down in there, but it's lamprey, all I know.
probably no more incentive than there was with the gratings on. So it's, I'd say, yeah, my only concern is that there'd be something indicative of a bigger problem somewhere else in the system. Or, and you really don't know, can we get at this winter if we're getting at the lamprey?
I mean, it would take, we could just dewater, I think we talked about that, from the UMT down.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good, we definitely didn't want to do it when we have very many fish, because any fish we push down run right now.
Don't want to do that. Yeah, no, this would have to be like in January or something like that.
Snorkel in January. Make sure that there's nothing else, other ones that have also not been blown off, dislodged.
Yeah. I don't think this probably takes a whole lot because these are the fiberglass grade, just so they don't weigh much.
That's the reason I'm saying
this one. This one here.
These are the newer ones.
It looks heavy.
The problem is these are the newer ones that we put down with new tie down straps, so that's why I'm a little nervous. If the new tie down strap is blue,
I don't know.
Yeah.
How big are the holes in this particular grain? Yeah. Really 12, small? Or?
Is it 2 inch?
2 inch?
Is it 2 inch? Yeah.
That's big.
That's
big.
One more year.
That's a hole.
Those are big holes.
So our plan right now is to try to sound for the other ones, see how they're looking, feeling, I guess, and then maybe install in January if possible. Take it down.
Yeah.
And put it in, check the other ones.
What do you think's the problem? Just clips?
I think so.
That's the problem, is these are the new clips, though. That's why I'm nervous. Because these aren't like the ones that have been there since 1940. These are the ones
these are newer. A lot newer.
They want to put a clip in there.
The clips from China.
Chinese clips.
That's pretty good steel nowadays.
All right. Any other discussion on this?
Right.
No. I'll say no. Okay. The next one, 2.4, is the Bonneville Bradford Island AWS Emergency Fish Salvage. I've got pictures. I drew my own little thing. This is so Dave knows where exactly it is in case. That's my little ladder and the branches. It's just
where the dam is.
No. I probably did it incorrectly, but I mean, basically on the Bradford Island next to the adjacent to the Serpentine section is the AWS, and there's a gate well in between. We had a meeting there 2 weeks ago, and then Project Fisheries is like, yeah, we just did an inspection, saw a bunch of sockeye behind the picketed leads trap. So we went ahead and took it down.
This is wrong.
Is it wrong? Can you help me out on that drawing?
No.
No?
So where's Tackley? Shouldn't he be covering this?
It was an ink.
Or is he still in the wood shed?
Well, yeah. The reason why the fish were back there is because of the one-inch spacer that we put in there for lamprey. And then it comes down to there's a lot of deformity on the floor and maybe the picket. So we dropped it back down after we did the salvage. And there's some video, if somebody wants to see it. John could stick his hand right under some parts of this where it was dipped down.
So it was 2.
Probably at least 2 inches in some places.
Have joined the conference.
It was supposed to be 1.5, wasn't it?
No, it was a 1-inch.
That was confusing, but I think it's a 1-inch spacer, and then who knows what for the deformity. There's another issue here, too, and I don't know if the picket that's sitting up there, the spare picket, if you look at it, I don't know if it's indicative of the others. Are they all kind of the same design?
Design's the same as far as just having the leads come down at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
Looking at those pickets, there's a crossbar in there that holds the spacing correct, but there's a good maybe 10 inches that those pickets extend down below that. And I could put both thumbs in some of the spread on those pickets. You know, they've deformed. And if you put that 2-inch or greater deformity over the top of a dip in the bottom, you know, you're starting to get a pretty good size hole for fish to squeeze through. And
right.
So I'm thinking one thing that we might be able to do is actually put a bar across the bottom of those pickets to maintain that space exactly at 1 inch.
Right.
So it's a deformity in the pickets, not a slope floor.
No.
It's a deformity in the pickets. They're actually bent. I've got some pictures of it where they you know, over the years, they just things happen. Mm-hmm. They get bent.
And that picture has a bar, a plate that was added to that one section. So the plan, talking with Ben and John, would be to go ahead and put a plate all the way across and one on the floor as well.
Being careful not to
get
too much head. Now, that we're very sensitive about the amount of head on those pickets because we don't want fish banging on them. So.
Well, it's wavy. I mean, either that or cut it out.
But flatten it out.
How much gap cut? Because, I mean, part of the reason why you don't want to do it is that makes it harder for the leopard to get over. So you might be just like chasing your tails. Like, make it so now it's uniform, but now the leopard can't get over it. So why do the gap anyways? I would talk to your lamprey to make sure you make it as smooth as possible.
Well, yeah, you don't want to make it the right angle thing. You can make it a little rounded.
That's what I'm saying. When you put a plate, are we talking like...
Put a steel plate and bevel it.
Bevel it, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. There's already one on there, and it probably isn't beveled.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll make it even better.
Make it pretty.
Put a flat.
Put a picture of fish on it.
So, yeah, I mean, when these guys get in there and look at it, they'll be coming back with an update on what needs to get done. You can go out there and look at it, and we'll get the lamprey guys out there.
And I'll send Brian out.
Everybody was on the, you know, the mental image was this one-inch gap, all nice, even, all the way across the bottom. That's not what we got.
We knew there was going to be waves and deformities. Unfortunately, there's probably more than we thought.
It is Bradford Island.
There were quite a few fish behind it, and then you know, looking at what's out there now, there's still a number of fish that are in those. I don't think they came in.
No, they were in that gate well when they watered it back up. They were able to come up and then flop back into the AWS. So
maybe five or six. I don't know how many there are. I saw at least five at one time.
Yeah, but what kind of gap do they need?
2 inches.
Well, apparently, about 2 inches less. And also the sockeye.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, these guys are little fish. And what I saw in there were little fish. And we're talking 12, 14-inch, you know, little guys, maybe a couple that are a little larger. And the Washington Shore's got the same problem. I saw the same thing in there. I only saw two for sure that were separate fish, but I saw quite a few observations in watching that area that told me that I probably wasn't seeing everything. So, but they're little guys, you know, so they're getting through those kind of holes.
Well, and the sockeye this year seem to be a little smaller.
Yeah, they do. Hmm. So this is kind of
interesting. We need some clarification on that gap size because we were running 1.5 at the Dalles and John Day. That's what we were told to run.
And we're running 1.5 upstream, too.
Yeah,
right. I remember that.
Good thing we didn't run 1.5.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
They did ask us to do 1.5.
Yeah.
We're severely under
a couple thousand fish in there.
No, I'm thinking this was supposed to be 1 inch. This is more like 2 inch. And if you guys are actually at 1.5, 1.5 is probably okay. But you guys at Bradford are probably way well above 1.5.
Yeah, if we can get down to a 1.5 kind of constant, that would be okay. But
that's part of the reason we picked the 1 inch because we knew there's going to be deformity. So we give ourselves a little slop.
So right now they're on the
more than we thought
sill, so to speak, and they seem to be effective in keeping sockeye out. And there might be a couple popping through.
I don't think so. I think those were probably already in there. We just didn't get them out, and we're not. I don't know. Andy's been trying to catch them.
Dave,
look at my curiosity. Yeah. When you go to do the sill fix, can you raise the picketed lead to where you thought you had it set at an inch to actually measure what your deformity
is? Yeah, you can put the blocks back in.
Yeah, we can go put it back in and look at it and then fix it.
Well, once you put in
that way you get an idea verify of what kind of space was being what used happened by the sockeye.
He's trying to make sure that it was a lot more than an inch and a half, so we're safer than an inch and a half upright.
We can tell somebody an inch and a half is okay. If we don't have that information, somebody's going
to... Well, there's more to it, too, in that we're putting those orifices and things in upriver, and we've been talking 2.5 inches or 3 inches, and that's enough to stop fish from moving through. It's not. Pretty obviously, it's not. And so, you know, it depends on the tunnel effect, too, and how fish go through these things, if they hit their tails, if it's thin or if it's thick. But we have to think, and where it goes. You know, I'm not so worried if it's going to the next pool, but if it's going into some house of horrors for salmon, you know, that, you know, a bunch of baffles and a closed system and all kinds of stuff, then I have concerns about that.
Yep. Good point.
So, knowing how big those holes were is a good thing.
Yeah. You know. All right, so that is a good suggestion. When you guys dewater it, look at it with the 1-inch spacer in there. And
the
then
one.
be good to bring that to on the show.
Okay. Yeah. It was actually 3 inches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously, with I mean, Nathan was out there. They were sticking their hands under that with it as in the position it's in
well,
now.
He's got little girly hands.
He does, but...
Whoa. You're about the size of a sockeye, I guess.
Early sockeye, I guess.
Okay.
The point being the down position that these don't actually touch the concrete.
Tammy, strike that from the record.
I
can't even
see right now. He has small feet.
Where do I work? Come on.
So should we be looking at 1 inch? Should we be changing things to 1 inch?
Lots of numbers.
I would wait and see what happens. Yeah. I mean, you didn't have any issues at one and a half, did you?
Well,
how many fish you got behind your pickets?
And we're trying to figure out if that's the problem.
So you have sockeye behind the pickets?
Well, John Day North has a sockeye, but from what I've been told, it's not a little sockeye. It's good-sized sockeye, so I had a hard time letting it fit under
I
the
did
cap.
Remember, yeah,
there was
that's
one
right.
hole in the net.
You thought so it jumped through a hole. Not sure how that works. How does a situation where you rarely ever see a fish suddenly jump through the one small hole in the net?
We've seen them do it before.
I know we have. How does that work?
It's a circus at John's.
Well, it's when they're sitting up there flopping around, and then they finally found a weak spot.
What's that?
For about 10,000 fish throughout the day. The numbers of sockeye.
Yeah, but how many? You're not seeing the jumping, though. That's the issue. Right. We used to, but
no,
not anymore.
Yeah. We think it's just a freak jump.
Really a freak
it's
jump.
It's kind of like the one that John Daywood found in the walkway.
I know. There's a gap. One gap in the net.
Yeah.
Let's see. Fish aren't even observed jumping.
If one sockeye make it through that was good size, others would have snuck through. So you'd have had a lot more small ones stuck in behind. It's like, it just doesn't seem.
So we tried to ROV it yesterday to see if there's any gaps aside from the one half on the bottom, you know, where the crowder is and everything looked really tight, so we're thinking that was a jumper. But now John Day South has some in the pickets as well.
Oh,
and
my
two Chinook netted one out. And then
two Chinook?
Yeah.
Big Chinook?
The body size. Body depth.
And there was some good-sized shad in there that I'd have a hard look. For one, the shad's not going to go under the picket. Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you got another issue.
That fit
and they don't jump either.
No.
And they don't jump. So we dropped an ROV in there and we couldn't find any gaps around the crowd or anything. So
spontaneous generation.
That's another
population.
That's another mystery.
Are they decent size relative to.
And there was, we were thinking, Merrill was initially thinking that there was no netting on the downstream side that we normally had there that was pulled away. The Chinook were jumpers and the shad, So that's why I had them drop the ROV in there to figure out there's a hole.
And you saw nothing. all
are we creating a new strain of shad?
A jumping
new
shad?
Stage in the evolution.
The Columbia River shad.
We just cross and breed them with the Asian carp.
Hike minnow.
All right, well,
jump in the dam.
Keep your eye on that.
So when do you do water? South this year?
I don't know. I assume they are. Well, the latter, yeah. So that
conversation.
That's
so.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Good. I'd say do a pretty thorough walk through that area. Let's take a look.
Yeah. And I think what's important too is to run that crowder to dry in and out to see if any gaps open up.
That's what I'm thinking.
But this is on the south side, right?
South side. So I'm thinking when they do water.
Nothing new there.
When they do water, run the crowder. Maybe the crowder's gotten some wiggle in it. And maybe got some gap when they run it in now.
Could be in November.
Where else is a shad going to sneak through?
Yeah. Not unless there's a gap somewhere.
Unless there's a picket lead that got
picket.
We've seen some in there in the past. Usually they're the very small ones. And they have to line up.
They are thin.
When it comes off the weir just upstream of the town station, the flow is like straight in the pickets. It's pretty close. And so I've seen shad that would actually gill.
Go tail first through it.
It's skinny enough to get through these things.
Yeah, all the other ways to open it up. Just let them on through.
All dewatering this year, you're going to have to look at everything closely, operate it, and document it.
You get rid of those count stations.
Yeah.
Still need pickets.
All right, let's move on here. For those people on the phone, we're going to go through our updates. We're at 3.2.5, and then we're going to address some of the things. I heard Aaron join us, so we'll talk about lamprey trapping, and then we'll get into TSWs in Fish County. So, Bonneville 6 gantry testing. Gantry 6 testing. You want to talk to that? I don't.
That was a popular thing.
Yeah, it's always popular. There is no popular things with you, is there?
Page, have it somewhere in your thing printed out, page 14, I believe.
Dave Statler.
But,
yeah, they need to run that spill base 6 up to 20 feet, wide open, a couple times, two or three times. They're doing it to test load on those hoists that they're trying to replace, so it's contract is awaiting that information. That's the hurry.
I have some concerns about that.
Okay.
I guess not so much. I mean, you've already heard my concerns on the action, but also they were talking about the rollers on the gates, and they were wanting to get the load based on some of those rollers possibly being frozen and some not. And that strikes me as a very very much a moving target. I mean, if you've got rollers that are freezing over time, any load test you do is just a snapshot and doesn't really represent what could be happening out there over time. And then you're talking about designing a hoist to handle that load when that load may be three times as much as the rest of the rollers freeze up. So that kind of approach bothered me. It seemed to me that if we got rollers that are freezing out there, that we ought to be replacing those rollers so that we have free rolling as intended, free rolling rollers in the gates.
Right.
So it just, the syntax there didn't make sense to me, the approach.
Sure. Well, that doesn't make that much sense to me either, really, because, you're just randomly picking a gate, happens to be the one that has the
three rollers frozen, four rollers frozen, all of them on both sides, we're skidding the whole damn thing. I don't know.
That was one of my questions, was why did they pick 22? What was the rationale? Discuss where the gantry is. That was.
Yeah. Well, that's a full lift, and I can understand that. You mean why they pick six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, six.
Because it's hooked to the gantry.
Unit six is because where it is, and 22 feet is a full run. I understand.
Yeah, 22, I understood. I'm just going,
why that one?
That big?
Well, and you're close to the apron and undercut and the issues that are going on there. And I saw Lori Ebner's response, which concerned, I had that response or concern before I saw her response. When I saw her response, I was doubly concerned.
What's her response?
Well, it was that she was concerned in 10 and no more than 15. And now we're talking 22.
Yeah,
and I was
so
like,
let's.
Your hydraulic engineer is advising not to do this. And we don't have, one is we don't have a good spill pattern developed if we lose the apron. If we lose that chunk of shelf, we were going to this fall develop spill pattern for the what if emergency. So we'd be just winging it, dry labbing it, trying to figure out what to do for the rest of the spill season. That concerns me. And the other thing is, that if we stick that gate, we do have an unknown situation with rollers and that gate. If we stick it wide open, which I heard through the grapevine might have happened already once out there, sticking that thing open, then we have a very, very unusual spill pattern.
what about getting agreement with doing something, say, maximum open will be 10 to 15 feet, no more than three times?
Well, so that could be the information you guys need.
Well, they came back to us, I think, originally and said, we'll do whatever you give us.
It will give you that.
And we said that, 22 is not acceptable. I don't even feel comfortable doing 22, but it's perfectly running. So I would just say, say 10, 15 max, three times, and then be done with it.
So what is the contingency plan if it sticks right over? Is it to have Jason out there jumping up and down?
That's Scott.
Is that it?
It's Scott. Okay. Scott's big enough.
That's a little better, but not much.
Well, you're ruthless today, man. I better get on my A game here.
I don't. Those guys know what the gantry's capable of. A gantry failure, there's two things. One, it either falls or it sticks and you dog it off and you fix the gantry and you fix whatever. So. But I'm thinking just restrict it to 10 to 15 feet max, three times.
Somewhere along the way, I heard that one of the last big debris spills, that thing did get stuck or something got stuck in there.
One of them bound up.
We had two bays that did it, 13 and 14.
Okay, it was good information.
Yeah, but it was different bays.
Yeah. No, but I mean, yeah, that's not. The point is, it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen.
Just issues. They weren't. And then we have like stuff. Per se. It's just that.
Yeah, I don't
know why we're doing the debris flushes. That's how 17 failed. It's still broken. 13 and 14, one had a brake issue, which is ultimately why 17 fell.
Okay. Do we think we want to switch the system?
So it's there's no.
Because I'm not.
Yeah. They start.
The problem is the reason they're recommending base 6.
It's already
base there. 6 is the. I think base 6 is far enough away from where we have the problem. 6 is hooked up to where the gantry's at. So the gantries are hooked up to two bays. You'd have to unhook the gantry, go lift something else, shift it into another bay.
I'm not saying it's more work, but if you fail it, over it.
Well,
that's
a
huge clusterfuck expense.
Yeah, I know.
Want to take more risk, less risk to do
okay.
that.
Okay, I mean, just from my experience right now, if we haven't failed the apron right now with the flows we just had on it, this little test isn't going to fail the apron.
Well, I'm not worried about that.
So,
I'm
know,
saying.
If you want to carve Schwartz, fail the apron, you know, whatever.
I'm going to get the diver. You're
the concrete guy. About the advice we got from one of the hydraulic engineers, and that was that this high flow is going to protect the apron.
Oh yeah,
because
we still have what's tailwater?
The actual impact force of the apron was probably.
We have still the 28 foot tailwater. That's great.
Yeah, no, I'm still looking. I'm just saying, like, it's going to look really like we're a bunch of idiots if we do this test because your flows are going to be dropping. You're going to have one bay. That's going to cause a lot more recirculation back to the stilling basin under your apron than it would when everything's wide open.
Well, so what are we spilling right now? 200 and 160.
You're
160?
You've dropped down.
It's dropping fast.
Yeah. Well, the sooner we do it, you know.
I'm just saying, I think you'd want to move farther away from your danger spot. Because, I mean, God forbid if
not
if
this 28-foot tailwater, it's not that
I'm
easy.
Just saying, if you guys feel comfortable, and then you've got some explaining to do later,
okay, I would say no more than 15 feet,
there you go.
As your engineer told you. And I would say that none of the gates in compensations should be closed less than 2 feet.
Okay. No, so, yeah, we're not going to cut.
That's
GDAX won't let it compensate. It'll never go below 2.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, there was talk of compensating.
Maximum of 15, nothing less than 2 feet on the other gates, and minimize it to three cycle levels. Operation.
How long do you think it for each lift?
It's 15 minutes a cycle.
15 minutes.
So it'd be about an hour.
So I'm okay with compensating
as soon as possible.
And I think what we should, as soon as possible. I guess the other thing is maybe I know the project will do diligence and maybe plant a mechanic out there.
You want the heaviest just guy watching, on the project
watching stuff.
And Scott's out there too.
Yeah.
Well, those guys
get Scott and Dennis. I got to get
They're
out.
They're going to be measuring it, but we should have a mechanic looking at the gantry to make sure everything's running okay. They'll do that. Yeah.
There's a couple of guys too.
What's the date?
No, we stay.
Date yet? I heard you say as soon as possible.
Well,
I would say do it Monday.
Yeah, early Monday when you have time to deal with it.
Monday, if they could do it Monday.
It hits the fan.
Yeah, because you don't want to do this on a Thursday.
Like today.
Yeah, we'll get back to it.
The only other thing is that I don't know the engineering group, the group that's coming out to do the monitoring. We're kind of at the mercy of them. We told them we'd get it coordinated as soon as we can. So see if we can do this Monday.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, something like that.
And so we have a day or two. Send Tammy and myself an email and we'll send it out.
Everything's okay.
Say what the plan is. You guys
want to
go out there and watch.
I mean, it's not going to be much. We do want to see these hoists rebuilt too. And I'm still scratching my head a bit about these rollers, you know, basically the bearings being stuck on these gates. I mean, if that's the case, and we're pulling more load than we need to.
Those gates haven't been damaged. There's a gate redesign going on right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that'll reduce the load.
If we did
on
McNary, would McNary would redo it? Much the McNary gates, because they're both similar style leaf gates.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I want to jump to some of the issues that we have people on the phone.
Okay.
So, Dave Statler, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, I just called in. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And I know, Aaron, you're on the phone too, Aaron Jackson?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. Anybody else call in that hasn't been recognized? All right, so the first one, let's talk about the TSW at John Day. According to the 2011 summer fish operation plan, we're supposed to, we have a court order rollover, which was into the follow the 10 plan. And in 10, they were pulled out on the 20, I think it was the 23rd of July. Earlier this week, I was talking with a project, and he said he was planning on pulling them out this Thursday. So here we are today with
well, technically some, the 21st.
The 21st, they were going to start pulling them.
Yeah.
So I talked with Gary, and Gary actually put together a some kind of a justification based on what we have. We don't have much data, but based on his analysis, there's a. He believes that it'd be better to keep it in for a few reasons. It would reduce the Forbay residence time and also pull some fish from the turbines. So this was discussed at TMT yesterday, but it's really an FPOM, more of an FPOM decision. So I know that Dave Statler, who's on the phone, was concerned because he didn't have enough information. He's received Gary's memo, so Dave, I guess if you want to start and
if you have questions.
If you have questions, Gary's here to talk.
Well, we got Brad here too, and Brad's got the survival data that Gary's referencing.
Much brighter than I am. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. I guess I could, you know, start this thing off. I know we're all pressed for time today, but I appreciated getting Gary's memo on this that helped my understanding of what's going on. But my concerns and I guess need to know a little more about how this would affect operations primarily relates to potential effects on Pacific Mamre downstream migration. And a concern I have is if the PSWs are shut off, and if that reduces attraction to spill, the traditional spill bays, and would conceivably, in so doing, shunt more fish to the powerhouse and onto the diversion screens there that aren't very friendly to the juvenile migrants, and the whole bypass system is not very friendly to the migrating lamprey as well. And that's and granted, we don't have a whole, we have little information with regards to the comparative ratios of avenues of passage and survival and all that of juvenile lamprey, but at this stage here, it's it's not a good thing to certainly enhance or direct more fish to the powerhouses, because they don't bypass like the juvenile salmonids and that kind of thing. So, and then in looking at Gary's memo, that there does seem to be some. Although there haven't been specific tasks for salmonids with on and off or installed or uninstalled PSWs, there seems to be a potential to do that. So, that's my concern, and just sort of, to jump in there and blindly say, go for it. It just seems like, at least for their discussion and consideration of this, especially for lamprey, needed to occur. So that's kind of where I am on that.
So Dave, you're thinking leave them in, maintain the operation as it has been.
Is probably a better operation for lamprey. I mean, the one other thing I was thinking was from a lamprey, is you're more likely to have the flow more towards the center of the dam, so you'd have a higher likelihood of drawing lamprey away from the powerhouse than if we turn them off and go to the more of the bulk north classic pattern.
Right.
Other than that,
I figured any additional routes of passage for lamprey are a good thing, is all I could come up with.
Yep.
And that means leaving them running as they are now.
Yep. I could call them.
I mean, based on what I know and how this may, you know, influence, you know, flow patterns and, you know, attraction to the spill bays, that would be my sentiment at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's what everybody else is thinking, too.
And the Corps is comfortable with leaving them run until August 31st or whatever.
Correct. So, I guess Oregon, thumbs up?
Yeah, leave them in.
Leave them in. Leave them running.
Yes, Dave.
Leave them in.
Just keep doing in and running, operating as is.
Yeah, because they're...
Follow the spill pattern plan and the fish passage plan that's in there in the 11. Gary, thumb up.
Yeah.
Meaning continue using the TSW spill pattern.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Don't take the TSWs out of service.
Right. All right, so we've got everybody agreeing to that, so I will contact the project and...
Russ, you on the phone?
Oh, Russ.
He's talking to the mute button.
No, I'm eating a cracker.
That's just the same.
Has it got fish on it?
We just wanted to get your buy-in on the TSW operation.
An error. The cracker's just bad timing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Russ. Okay.
Anyone from Washington around? Or
Richards.
I have a question, Steve Richards.
Steve Richards is on.
How many Channel Lamprey are migrating during July and August?
As we've seen this year, we still have them showing up at Granite, so this year's been kind of goofy.
Technically,
it should be dropping off, but
there's a peak in early June. The last test, 09-010 pattern.
Yeah,
but this year's been...
This is an odd year. They're just kind of
consistently...
Lots of lamprey,
yeah.
As flows drop off and the trips come down...
Declining hydrograph out-migration.
Probably help, I mean, but salmon's still running pretty hot, heavy, so yeah. I'm assuming you're still going to see them from the snake coming. They're working their way down for a while.
It's certainly not a detriment to lamprey.
Nope.
So, as long as it's still benefiting salmon.
I think it's going to benefit lamprey.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you got thumbs up on this?
Yeah, sure.
All right, thanks. Okay, let's move on to, there's an agenda item to talk about fish counting. Oh, wait a minute, hold on.
Do you need anything official from FPOM to confirm the decision made at TMT yesterday?
No, my understanding of the TMT expectation, what I heard was, oh, I guess you're right, I probably should send an email. What I heard, I thought yesterday, was a conditional no objection pending the discussion today. I'm not hearing any...
No, everybody gave their thumbs up.
Therefore, would folks like an email to
that would be good. Just document it, and for people that aren't here.
Sounds good.
Are you gonna send it to them? They asked me to send them something that they didn't have to do anything.
So. Let's go. This one's side. Let's go.
Project loves. You don't have to do anything.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
We were happy with that.
See, Bob will make it real easy. You don't have to do a damn thing.
There we go. So, let's move on to fish counting. I know Dave wanted to talk about that one as well. It's on the agenda. It is agenda item 5. The issue here is we have a five-year contract, or actually it's a one-year with options on it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming up to fish counting renewal is March 1st.
Brand new contract.
So it'll be a new contract on the streets. And before we issue it, we want to talk about what do we want to count. I know lamprey has been... Every year, it just gets more and more requests, so we're trying to figure out how to add that in, and also, can we take anything off
the table?
Do we need counts at all of these projects, like the Dalles Dam or
other places? If you look at your agenda on page number 10, it gives you the current fish counting schedule at each one of the core operating projects. It'll show you video counts that we do generally first part of the year, and also the normal counts for the year. We do currently do other fish counts, like lamprey counts at Bonneville Dam, McNary, and Granite at this time. There's other operations going on at Granite, fish counting and operations going on at Granite, and there's, well, of course, at Portland's Bonneville Dam, we're just about counting fish every day of the year there. So that's the big things that are going on. The dams in between, it's a little bit measured, of course, shortened seasons.
And what is Exhibit 2?
Exhibit 2 is actually just the fish species that we do count.
Oh, okay.
And that's all it is. That's on page number 11. Now,
okay.
That gives the recommendations that FPOM did back in 2007, or 6, of fish counting. Plus, also, we added a couple of species to that since then that we put in the comments dive item, in the comments. But these are the counts that we do at this time. Dave?
So when you do these video counts at Bonneville and wherever else we've got them going on here,
mm-hmm.
Does that include counting all these species listed on Exhibit 2?
No, it does not.
So what do they include?
The video count, as you can see there,
grass carp only.
Is generally just little, yeah, really. At 19 counts, depending on the project.
Triple asterisks, night lamprey, nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, triple asterisks and nighttime lamprey. You can see at Lower Granite Dam, we count sockeye 24 hours a day after the 15th of, June. Mm-hmm. Lamprey is only counted at night, along with sockeye at Granite. But during the day, all species are counted.
So I guess what we'd like to do is have a discussion about it and let you guys look at this, and we're going to start working on getting this contract together, getting a scope out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Need your input.
Which I would strongly encourage is contact someone from TAC and find out what counting data they need.
Yeah.
Because that's really the reason we're collecting this data is a lot of it's going to be TAC-related.
There is O&M related uses too, and
exactly.
What this really isn't supplying that need. I mean, it is to some degree, but we know a lot about what happens juvenile or to adult passage in June and July. What we don't know is when we're usually asking for these in-water work period extensions or some other issue in November, December, January, February.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the dates I want more information on. Now, we haven't, over history, gone back and done that, but those data are old. They're relative to the run sizes at the time and whatever else is going on environmentally. So I think it would be important, at least maybe not to do all of them at once, but you could do a rolling situation where maybe every year you do another dam, you do it all
you
through the winter.
You do those video count during day, let's say, at the Dalles. 1 year, mm-hmm. The next year at John Day, etc.
John Day is one that comes to mind because that's one that we are getting a lot of questions about.
Right.
Nothing's worse than to go to the data and see that there's nothing there,
mm-hmm.
Or what is there is relative to a 2001 type of year when you got a zillion fish going through. And
is that going to be part of the problem, though? Is like some years you pick at some dams,
I
might
know.
Be.
I'd like to see like a 5 year stretch at all the dams, but I thought I'd probably get. You know, Greg rolling over and stars in his eyes if I did that. So
I could play somebody else in the past.
Yeah, person.
Yes.
No. But what do you understand about no?
Exactly. What do you
what don't you understand about no?
But you read the interview.
Well, Dave Statler, you want to comment on this fish counting as well?
Well, at this point in time, again, this is primarily from, and I think we're talking about adults here, and so it would be,
yes, it is adults.
My perspective, comments are relative to adult Pacific lamprey. At this point in time, you know, after a pretty long stint there, basically no count data at all, on the main stem, facilities for adult lamprey. We're just now sort of, trying to actually, get some of that information and actually enhance counts to get a better idea of passage, which in turn, for Pacific lamprey, that's key information in terms of status.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
From year to year, and to the extent that we can, have comparative data for previous years when there were counts in the earlier years.
Yeah, there were counts.
So we're trying to improve that data for Pacific lamprey, as just was discussed, predominantly day counts, but for night counts at various facilities, because as far as adult, the passage of adult Pacific lamprey, a good share of that activity is during nighttime hours. So, don't want to lose any of that, and backtrack on the efforts of trying to get these data, especially because most of you are probably aware of the curious situation for adult lamprey, and all the information that we can gather in terms of the status and condition of these populations is extremely important at this point in time. There are things being done at dams that related to adult fish passage, and as far as an index of what impacts or what benefits may be accruing based on those efforts, those counts are one bit of information that's extremely important to that. So as far as reducing counts, as far as for Pacific lamprey, would not be a desired situation.
Yeah, Aaron Jackson, even Hill Tribe, definitely second with Dave Statler's put forward. In the tribal core compact meetings that we have, bi-monthly meetings, this is something that's been a very hot topic, is being better coverage of lamprey counts through the mainstream dams. And exactly, Dave nailed it on the head with, it's the way to go for a status monitoring of lamprey. Imperiled species, it's critically important that not only do we have daytime counts, but accurate, up-to-date nighttime counts at all the facilities as well, too. And, we are doing things that, of course, being pretty aggressive, and we're doing things that will improve passage at these facilities, so counts would be a great way to be able to monitor the trend of increased lamprey passage at those facilities. And, it's been really problematic when we try to set numerical goals for lamprey for what we want to see for return at a given facility or a reservoir or to a tributary when we don't have accurate counts. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
I'll just back up Aaron and David. I sat on the lamprey fishing corps meetings last week, and this was a really hot topic. And one thing that Dave Pluckson actually brought up is particularly the counts at the Dalles and John Day Dam are used as part of the quota system for allocating fish as they're coming into the system. So the fish that are going to go out for research or translocation, counts at those dams are part of that process. So losing those counts
would
break that whole system.
Yeah, exactly. We've got these very stringent guidelines the tribes have developed, and it's very critical that we have accurate counts, so we make sure that we're following those guidelines, and we're really concerned about the what's happening in the pool for lamprey. As everybody's aware, there's about a 50% decrease that's between in conversion between those two structures on those dowels. There's be one way to help get a grasp on that information, when it hasn't been available in the past.
And I believe lamprey are counted during the day at both the Dalles and John Day and Bonneville. The only difference is it's counted at night, of course.
All right. Not right now.
No, there
isn't. At Bonneville.
Only at Bonneville and Mike Murray.
And we understand that, you know, we want to get more Lamprey accounts, and we'll try to do what we can to get there. But, you know, is there any accounts we don't have to be doing is the question. I mean, we have limited funds. Can we do more Lamprey and do less counting of other fish?
Kind of stuck with.
I mean, yeah.
You're kind of stuck with, if you're counting Lamprey, you got everything going by. You got somebody watching the tape, and you got...
Yeah, but it's easy to say that's a lamprey and count it rather than... Oh, that's
well,
just
do we need to count shad at the Dalles?
Yeah.
That kind
of
question.
No, we're not.
According to this, we are.
We cut out shad at the Dalles.
This year.
What about at McNary?
McNary?
Ice cream.
We haven't said that about McNary because it was only needed at the Dalles.
Well, how much would it save you...
I have no idea. These are just questions I don't know.
Steve Richards, it's not going to save us much time if we don't count shad at McNary upstream, right?
No, I mean, especially now that shad numbers the last couple years have dropped down.
Yeah.
We're not being inundated like they are at Bonneville and Dalles.
Right.
And Bonneville
and Dalles
are not, you know, the shad keep people busy, but it's definitely a doable deal at McNary.
Save money, it just improves accuracy.
Save any money, doesn't save any kind of person still there.
I don't know of anybody using shad counts above Bonneville, but they're, I know it's one of those things that...
A nice harbor in Lower Granite.
Well, a few years from now, somebody's going to say, geez, why don't you guys stop that? We're going to use that.
We're getting a lot of interest from that from the East Coast. And shad passage.
Okay. All right. Well, these are just questions.
These are questions we need to know.
I guess if there's any additional comments, hold on. I got Dave's hand up.
Yeah.
Good.
Just something I need clarification on, or now or later. But I've marked seven lines here that indicate there's some video count going on out of Exhibit 1. There's seven lines that mention the word video count.
Okay.
Three of them are indicated as lamprey only. What's being counted during the other four lines that indicate video counts?
For example,
November 1 to February 28th at Bonneville.
Hours?
4 in the morning until 10 at night.
Salmonids.
Okay.
Primarily.
Yeah.
Okay, I just...
That's 24-hour commission.
Okay.
Next.
And then snake, March 1 to March 31st, 0600 to 1600. I assume that's the same thing.
Same thing?
June 15 to August 31 is special steelhead thing. So basically,
sockeye, not steelhead.
Or sockeye, I'm sorry. Sockeye. So basically, those other three. Oh, and then November 1 to December 15th at Grand.
Mm-hmm.
6 in the morning until 1600.
Right, that's primarily fall Chinook.
Okay.
And steelhead, yes.
Okay, I guess, but does your contract specifically say only count certain fish during these periods?
At times it does, yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why is that?
What?
I mean, you know, so you're looking for...
Well, you're looking at lamprey.
Steelhead, yeah. But a lamprey goes by.
We added lamprey counts, and that's what was specifically said by FPOM to Bonneville, McNary, and Granite at night. We didn't add the other species, for example.
So what I hear is that there's somebody either watching a video or watching the...
There is, and that is reported.
They're only enumerating, or well, that was a Chinook. Hit the button, or however they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if a chum goes by, they ignore it.
Well, at the time of the year,
or
let's say get up off the floor after the chum.
What you're saying is we should be counting everything in the video.
Yeah.
Especially those times of the year. It doesn't seem like that would cost any more to do that.
So, I mean, that's a good point, and, you know, that's where we're going to be going. Is, nighttime video counting at the project.
Video counting is a different process than daytime visual counting. Mm-hmm. It takes more time, period. It costs more, period.
Actually, interns are pretty cheap.
Interns are not cheap. It's whoever, you know, who's ever supporting, so, whatever's going on.
So what I would like you to consider then is, just because I'm still somewhat unclear, for the next FPOM meeting, for these seven lines that aren't specifically asterisked or very clearly stated sockeye counts, could you please list the species that you are expecting to get counted during those time periods? Is what I would like to
give me your list. I mean, I want to know those for exactly, and
it's just the ones that say video there.
Just the videos.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that. No problem.
And also, what I'm going to ask for next,
because
there's some differences in the time periods, those winter time periods.
Yes, there is.
And so I guess I'd just like clarification as to why those time periods were chosen, days and months are different.
Very good question, and I've looked at that too, and I've gone back to 1938 looking at time periods where we have done these counts. Historically, we're looking at fish patches during daylight hours.
Right.
And at the time of the year, you know, I'm only thinking, the time of the year when that sunshine hits the ladder, that's when they're hitting, counting fish.
Okay.
And some of those times.
So some of those times, and I'd have to take a look again, but it seems like some of them went from November to March. Some of them went from November to
December 15th.
December 15th, you know.
Uh-huh. And that's got to deal with the Snake River pools. The negative flows in the pool, I think it was, Doug, wasn't that? Something like that. Have you heard that from...
December 15th is when you yank everything out and start your underwater.
Zero flow.
But it has, you know,
that's
zero flow.
That's
only, that's not... That's not
December
the ladder.
15th,
the ladders, we close
at. You start having winter maintenance starts.
Yeah, but our
and
winter
some
maintenance...
Of those, some of those snake projects only have one ladder, so if you turn off one ladder, there's really no reason to count there.
Hey, look, no fish. Right, but the only ladders we're talking about here are Grant, McNary, and Bonneville. So
December 15th is when we start normal winter maintenance.
You take a macrame today.
Depending on what ladder it is.
Okay.
Now, on the Snake River project, we don't do that until March or until January 1st.
That's what I was thinking. So I guess
smart enough for that.
My question would be, is it useful, I would think it is, to standardize the periods of time you're counting at all these projects, if possible, to the same time periods? Because what I'm looking for is the inclusion of bull trout during those winter months.
The only thing that would be different is if you're trying to match up with historical, you kind of want to keep the same thing historically the same. The question,
but historically, you've got the dates on the fish patch. You can arbitrarily set whatever period you want. Yeah, as long as you're not shorting it.
As long as you're already out there.
Well, one of the concerns the service has is we get a lot of bull trout counts. We get what we get during the regular fish operating season.
Mm-hmm. And
not in the winter when we suspect there's a lot of bull trout out there moving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see winter counts. So I think that's the topic. And at least for, I don't know about every year.
Dave?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Steve Richards. Can I pipe in for a sec?
Absolutely.
Your program.
Sure. Okay, so we've done winter counts for bull trout, lomo, and little goose, which are primarily, they're pretty much the only projects we normally see bull trout at. And the winter counts in the past really didn't turn up any bull trout observations. This year is very different than previous years in that we're seeing bull trout all over the place. Mostly at Goose and Lomo again, but we are seeing them at the project. We're seeing a lot of them at Goose and Lomo this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Adults or juveniles?
No. Wow. Size.
So those...
Even 18 inches.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them are 12 inches. I mean, 12 to 13 is kind of
It's the break point.
Yeah.
It's a typical break point to choose. So, yeah. No. Sub-adult and adult. So when, Steve, when were those night counts done at Lomo and...
They were early 2000s.
Goose.
Oh, boy, I want to see, like, late 1990s,
something right in there, too.
I'll just look it up. It's a long joke.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'd like to dig those up then and look at them.
But the Corps has that information. It should be on their website.
It should be on the website.
Which also in the annual report.
You know, we talk about the different standardizing between the different projects. You know, Bonneville has emphasis on winter steelhead during, you know, November through March. We don't have that same emphasis up here in the Snake River. It's not yet.
Okay.
So when we're, like Rick Moody mentioned, we want to count during daylight hours, and that's when salmon primarily migrate. We are counting from November 1st, at Lower Granite, we're counting from November 1st through December 30th. It says here December 15th, but somewhere along the line there was a mod to push us all the way through December 30th.
Okay.
During the daytime only. Primarily, we're looking for we're counting all species, but as I understand it, I'd like to know how many steelhead are still sneaking up. And because it can be quite busy, November can be a big, big, big month for steelhead passage.
Right.
Now we have fall Chinook back in the snake in these numbers, and I get to give those guys some closure on what kind of fall Chinook are still moving through the system. You kind of have to, when you're looking at the different counting schedules, you got to keep in mind what's the target group that you're searching for. And of course, we always try to collect additional information if it doesn't cost any more than doing.
Well, that was sort of the thrust of my questions here. What's targeted? Why did we pick these times and so forth? What's the target? And in fact, are you counting things other than whatever the targeted species are? You just said you're counting everything.
That is lined out in the contract pretty well. We do have our nighttime lamprey count, which we're specifically counting lamprey and lamprey only.
Okay.
The reason being is if you had to count everything, especially the McNary, at night, it would be a painfully slow process because of all the shad that reside in the window at night.
Okay.
They are attracted to the light or whatnot. You wouldn't be able to go through your video very efficiently. And
but you can pick the lamprey out pretty quickly. I can understand that.
Yeah, you can pick the lamprey out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And the same holds true with granite. You know, granite, we're doing sockeye and lamprey both at night, using species of concern there. You know, your historical nighttime passage is shown. You know, you get about 5% of your salmon is moving at night. Sometimes steelhead are a little bit higher. So
sockeye.
I remember Dave Hurston shut down the nighttime counting because he said, hey, we have years and years and years with the data. We can kind of get an idea of the ratio of daytime versus nighttime passage. Granted, populations have changed since then. We have more fall Chinook, we have more sockeye than we did back in 1995, 1996. So things can be a little bit different. And plus, we're also operating the project a lot differently now than we were in the past, too. Yeah, we have spill the Snake River. Back in the day, we didn't spill very much in the system. If they could get away with this.
And what you're saying, Steve, makes sense. I understand what you're saying, but I guess what I'm asking for, if it's not too difficult for the next FPAL meeting or some point before this contract has to be finalized, if we could have just a better understanding of the reasons for each of the count periods and what specifically is being counted or not being counted. I mean,
we can line it up.
I could interpret it from here, but it may not be exactly why you guys decided.
The FPOM decided the last time.
Yeah. So, and if this is already stated somewhere in documents, I can go get it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not familiar with it.
Just look at the next page in your agenda, Exhibit 2, at the very bottom there. And it may talk about. It talks about the actual counts that we've been doing for the past 4 years, 5 years.
So I don't want to burn more time on this, but
I didn't mean to either.
Well, no, and that's good information we got, and we support. You know, we want to support
your concern.
What we need to manage the system. So lamprey is a big priority. You know, we're going to work on this. We'll bring it back to FPOM. We'll have more detail and let you guys chew on it and see what you think.
Have you taken facilitator classes? You're getting so good.
What's that?
Have you taken facilitator classes?
Maybe. maybe. Hey, zip it over there.
No sidebars.
So
why he doesn't come to these.
So we're going to move on to the next one, which is
great. Well, go ahead. What's the next one?
The next one is going to be Aaron Jackson's request for trapping lamprey.
Before you move on.
But before we move on.
Before you move on, I'd like to have a recap of that discussion. I mean, you're going to go dig up some more stuff and come back. Well, what is that? Is that
more stuff is going to be
species that are counted?
We're going to have in detail
for the times, but also a proposal for meeting some additional needs as lamprey. As
well, also I need some more information from all the managers who are looking for more stuff. I mean, I know there's lamprey. Is there anything else that you agree with or don't agree with or you want to see? We can get it included in the contract, but we're going to lay it out.
Okay.
It's going to say, you know, what we're counting, why we're counting, when we're counting.
Okay.
And then what's proposed to be counted.
Okay.
Into the new contract.
And then we'll have another discussion next time.
Right.
About
so, you know, existing, additional, you know, what, why,
what can be
how
cut,
long.
What can be added.
You know, can we cut Shad out of McNary and Goose?
I would suggest allowing a little more time the next meeting for this one.
Well, yeah,
are we going to see this thing before the meeting? Because I need to run it by my tax person.
This went out with the agenda.
We'll get it together as soon as we can. We'll send it out.
That guy's been in.
Well, we're going to send it to the TAC rep as well, whoever, who's the TAC lead now, the chair.
Is it Catherine McCosker?
It is Catherine.
I think she still is.
Yeah. That Fred Ricks guy?
I'm not even going there.
All right.
So much fun.
Can I now move on? Are you guys happy with what I said?
It's good.
You agree to what I said?
Happy to draw the word, but we're okay.
I will.
Let's put it this way. We'll see what ends up.
We'll see what ends up. Next time.
All right, next time. Same time. I really appreciate everybody's input, though.
Very important. Would be
being successful in the Fish County program.
Important between now and big time. I would really need the input.
It's getting heavier out here.
Okay. Can I go on to Aaron Jackson now? Everybody okay with that?
Yes. Yep.
Aaron, thanks for being patient. And Dave Statler, thanks for calling in. You're more than welcome to stay in for the next few hours if you want.
Okay. Thanks. See you guys later.
All righty. I'll let you off the hook there.
Dave Statler.
We're Dave. Left the conference.
So, Aaron, I did get your message about your request for having some additional lamprey traps on the FPOM agenda. I'm going to let you just go ahead and lay it out, and then we'll have this conversation. That's okay.
Yeah. Thanks everybody, for the opportunity to be part of this forum. You know, we'd like to get out of be able to utilize and bring across our needs for lamprey for the tribe.
Yeah, I know that.
What we're looking at is basically, you know, at the last FPOM meeting, or maybe back in June, we got approval basically with the lamprey traps and the South Rocky Channel at the Dalles. And the initial recommendation by project staff was to check the traps prior to 6 a.m. or after 8 p.m. And what C2IR and Yakima Nation are requesting is some flexibility, / trial run of checking the traps from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we're asking for this request because we have to check traps and operate traps at other facilities, and it makes it very difficult for us to be there earlier than 6 a.m. to check these traps or after 8 p.m. to check these traps. Mr. Cordy sent me the Dial distribution sockeye.
Mr. Cordy?
And Chinook there at typically all the ones from the East Fish Ladder, and it's the 05 through 08 data. And also sent me the Dial distribution for lamprey runs. We have a concern about checking those traps when potentially passage is the highest for lamprey, potentially entering our traps during that time frame of prior to 6 a.m. because lamprey behaviors are nocturnal, and so they're being at night and holding during the day. And at the same time, we looked at these in the sockeye, the Chinook, and the steelhead Dial runs, and looks like, granted, it's not the lowest point, but there is some flexibility during the and lower potential passage during the 11, you know, the 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock time frame. So prior to just implementing, you know, the strictest criteria for us to be able to check our traps, we like to basically, you know, do a trial run and have some evaluation. But if checking our traps during that 10 to 1 p.m. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. window has an effect on any other salmonid passage. Maybe you guys aren't aware, but you know we're running traps at John Day north of South Fishways there at the Dalles, and then we're also going to be moving forward to Cascade Island as well, and any other facilities that at that Bonneville that have excess lamprey during the day. So we're pretty spread out, and we move through a lot of facilities during the day. And basically, that's my request.
So, Aaron, this is Bob. Just for clarification, then, you guys aren't proposing putting anything at the entrances anymore, right? This
no,
is just the Rock
time.
Channel.
We're not looking at, just in the Rocky Channel, South Rocky Channel.
Dallas. And,
you know, this would be a very quick, trap.
South.
You know, get in there and get out of there. I mean, we'll sit there maybe get them 15 minutes.
This is just for the South Channel. South
Rocky
Inference
Channel.
And the Rocky Channel that runs up past the West Creek there. And
it would be inside the channel, actually, wouldn't it be the South Entrance?
Right, but it would be somewhere in the channel up by the West Creek?
By the West Creek building.
Building,
like
yeah.
Where the walk bridges that go across two of them there, and it would probably be those for easiest access.
Bless you. And you think it takes you guys about 15 minutes to check your traps?
I'm guessing somewhere right in there. You know, that's very typical. My guys are pretty quick. They got it down, you know. We'll follow the typical precautions that we take in
that
reduce smell and reduced activity. They're out there. They pull the traps. They can check them.
It's lamprey. It's lamprey.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they can deploy them right away after that again.
And do we have any information specific to adult salmonid entrance for that? I mean, I know we do, but has anybody looked at that, put that together?
South.
Yeah, for the south entrance, the Dalles, for Chinook and Steelhead, Sockeye, whatever else.
We haven't looked at it. We can dig that up, though.
And look at the timing of those fish. If there's a lull in the midday period, then,
I don't know if we can pull out timing on those.
We should RT. There should be RT data.
Yeah, what I've reviewed here is just what Bob provided me with the dial distributions at the east ladder, which the south conforms to that, correct?
Well,
that's quite a way.
Yeah, that's, what's that? Is that based on counts? At the window?
That's just based on counts, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the RT data that we have, should have tons of RT data for that south entrance.
So looking at when the RT was all collected under a vastly different spill operation than we're doing.
I'm just thinking about,
So I'm wondering how
timing, though, shouldn't change.
I hope not, but I just wonder how much they use the south ladder.
Not much.
They didn't use it much back then, and with the new pattern we've got, I can't believe they're going to be using it much more.
Well, I guess, Aaron, the issue here is that that rock channel isn't a high priority issue for us from salmon standpoint, so I really don't care too much when you're in there. But that certainly doesn't carry over to the other ladders.
Yes, we understand that.
So yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's whatever you want to do in there is probably okay. It's
if you're
probably
like the 15 minutes and that kind of stuff, I'm not gonna.
You're introducing some scent just by handling the trap and putting it back down. That's about it. Some disturbance. That's about it.
Use ivory.
Is that why?
Clean of salt.
Yes. Oh God.
Yeah, no sweat.
You mean why not Dr. Bonner's?
Scent wise, I'm sure it's no worse than what we're, you know, where you have count stations anyway.
Or WD-40.
Yeah, true. But those are off. The timing is different there.
All right. Well,
when we're handling those,
thumbs up.
Is that him? Aren't we?
We can give it as a trial run and see if we notice anything.
I think that's any time.
Yeah. Question: Are they currently checking in the morning and at night?
Currently, we only check our traps once per day, and usually, you know, my guys, they come down from Pendleton, and they head to the John Day, and they run that first. My guys start about 6 in the morning, so they're at John Day, you know, 8:30, and they're right from there right to the Dalles at 9:30, 10, you know, and I want the flexibility to have a couple hours on top of that in case you get a flat tire or, you know, something unforeseen.
I think later is better, but... from a salmon standpoint.
Sure. Yep.
But I, you know, that, so again, that channel,
that would be fine with us. You know, typically they're eating the, you know, lunchtime. They're finishing up there at the Dalles, you know. But, so it'd be completely fine with us, you know, if it was, you know, 11 or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, I don't think it matters.
They'll be their lunch first and do a check afterwards.
Yeah.
So more like 2.
If they can be there at noon, 11 one. Noon, that's 1, that's fine.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, I just that if this was in the main ladder, I'd be a little more concerned.
Yeah, we understand that, you know, and that's why we're only fishing behind the picket of leads.
Right, off of where the disturbance isn't as much of an issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else issues? Rick, good. Thumbs up. Dave gave me thumbs up.
So it's good, Dave. Without digging up the south data then.
Don't bother.
We're not going to do that quite yet.
All right. Okay. Aaron.
We should, actually.
Thanks for calling in. I think...
the fisheries with... Oh, he's got 2 projects.
FPOM is approving that recommendation, and... Is Idaho want to chime in, or are you good in Washington? Okay. All right.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We haven't deployed traps there yet because of the timing issue, so we'll likely start trapping there on Monday.
All right. Okay. Well, Dave.
If these are the current trapping sites, I think this would be useful to include these in the notes when they come back out.
Oh, sorry.
If you could provide these electronically as notes.
Yeah, and those were in the last coordination, or last FPOM that we did.
Well, they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who put them together?
So I apologize. I'll check that one then.
Who put those together?
We did.
It was just updated with the South channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're in last month's notes.
Already. They're in last month's, but that was with the proposal that there'd be some in the Rock Channel and also some at the entrances. So the big proposal, nothing at the entrances, just like.
So we'll update that and provide that in the minutes of this
we'll send
meeting.
An updated one to Tammy Byrne.
Tammy will provide that in the minutes of this meeting. Yes.
Thank you all very much for your time.
Thanks for calling in, Aaron.
Look.
Ta-ta. So now we can just backtrack to 3.
Aaron Jackson.
Oh.
Has left the conference.
I'm going to request another alteration agenda. Could we do the Lobo outfall update? I can't stay a whole lot longer, and I would like to hear that.
Okay, so we're jumping around. We're jumping around. So the Lomo... Say that again. Where are we?
Number seven.
Lower Monumental
outfall construction update.
Outfall construction pipe is scheduled this winter. Mm-hmm. We do know that. However, when?
Yeah.
the new premier, okay, they're looking at 15 November through 15 March. Before we scream, hold a phone.
I'm just surprised it's that short. I thought they'd be asking for more.
No. I told them to load it up on the November end instead of the other end, primarily for Celts. The thing is, they say this primary ballot pass should be in operation March 1st.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Period.
I just had to get that out. I was like, which end do you want?
Now the secondary bypass will be in operation by the 15 March. That's why they're just working in water downstream. That's all. I mean, for that part, you know, from 1st of March down to 15 March, the facility primary bypass should be in operation March 1.
I'll take that to the bank.
They got to take material out of the stream, old stuff, finished construction.
Yeah. Is that the update you needed?
I said
so. I just was curious what was.
Wait, Greg?
Yes.
This is Bill Hevler.
Hi, Bill.
There's Bob Johnson and Sean Nelson initiated a coordination with me on this. Well, as you're saying, the the November 15th date to March date, and they've got two in-water work jobs. The one way downstream, putting in the new piers for the new primary outfall, and that's okay within that any time. As far as I see it, any time within that time frame. But taking out the old primary bypass, which is up near the project, they do propose to not start that until mid to late December. And I think that's a good idea to put that off as long as they can, because that does could have an effect, because it's near the exit or the entrance to the adult ladder. Put that off later in the winter.
Yeah, I don't see that in their notes here. Okay, but if they talked it with you, fine, dandy, and you concur.
Yeah, that's important to that's get to that probably, you know, around January.
Right.
That's going to be near the entrance to the Dole Ladder.
Right. That's good consideration.
So make sure you carry that back and they address that.
Yeah, that's an important one to address, too.
It's not interfering with some
other operation.
Anybody else?
I'm good.
Cross seven off. Anything else you want to hear about before you head out?
Thanks. You don't the door
my vacation in Maui?
I heard about that yesterday. I know, so I'm going to ask these guys a little more about it.
Thank you, Bill. That's good.
Hey, this Russ.
Yeah, Russ.
Before Rick leaves, are we going to talk about open geometry at Bonneville?
No.
Powerhouse?
No.
No.
Sure we are. Why would you do that to me? I'm going to leave before 5 o'clock today.
I've already heard you.
We've got some extensive notes on that.
It's like one line.
Hell no.
Spill good, powerhouse bad. All you need to know.
What was well, isn't that engraved in
what's the additional information you have for us?
A week and a half at the CSSN reviews, Dr. Petrosky is going to present more information that powerhouse passage is bad.
At Bonneville.
It's not old information.
Where is he going to present this at, Russ?
Workshop. CSS workshop.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that? What is the CSS workshop, Russ?
End of July sometime?
Yeah,
it's that
last week in July. There you go.
So
I haven't seen that in
a while. Doctor
Who?
Last week in July.
Charlie.
What
is that? Doctor Charlie. What is
Doctor.
So what do we need to talk about here?
I didn't know it was on the agenda.
It's on the agenda. Just because it's a coordination that's still out for approval or how we move forward with it. There's meeting notes that I'm going to present. Right now there's a recommendation to with leadership to talk about moving it to REOG. So that's.
And then we send it to the hydro technical work team because that'll be productive. Yep. And then we'll send it to REOG. This is going to be sweet.
This will be fun. We'll see how that
process
works.
Your decision of fun and mine are vastly different. We saw it work last time with that low mo spill issue.
I think that was fun.
Once again, my definition of fun is someone else's maybe a wee bit different.
You didn't enjoy that, huh? Well, I wasn't there, so.
You will be for this one.
So, is that the update and the discussion?
Yeah, that's more or less the update. We had a special fitter wig for it. We had one participant on the phone, so and Gary, out of everybody in the region. Once again, we had very poor attendance.
I told you I was going to be there.
I know. I'm just stating a fact.
That you still weren't there?
That you still weren't there.
I was at the previous two meetings, so don't
And so
this
one. Those meetings will be posted.
Our management is still making a decision on how we want to move forward with it.
We listened
to
Russ for 3 hours.
It'll be real.
That's different. How?
This was the B1 turbine meeting that everybody's been invited to 4 times. So, anyway, we're getting to a point now where management is. Huh?
Do you have any issues around that?
I have no issues with this. I'm just going to move it forward.
No, I do.
Let's move it forward as it continues to
blossom.
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 Explode.
Is that what I'm going to start calling you, Turd Blossom?
It's whatever. My hands are big.
So you're talking about the meeting, Dennis, that I could not attend because of other duties, but I did provide some.
Oh, you did. No, we've consolidated all those in the notes as well. I appreciate folks that weren't able to attend giving comments back on where their position was. And that's duly noted.
Wow. I like that.
So no, I can now cross.
That was diplomatic.
I just crossed off 4.1.
There you go.
Bingo. Yeah,
next.
Can I move on, Russ?
See y'all. Yep.
See you, Rick. Thanks.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay. Let's see.
Are we done with 4.2 already?
No,
I'd like
sure.
to get through the 3 updates and then take a break. Yes. So we're at...
take a break. You take a lunch break?
The Dalles 3.2.6, the Dalles Spill Bay 12 closure due to a trolley pipe issue.
Okay. Hey? So this is no longer an immediate issue since we're no longer using Spill Bay 12 to close drop. But the Patel pipe came loose, it's about ready to break off and go through, so we cleared that bay out, so it's another cleared spill bay at the Dalles. But we're going to address it here in what you're meeting in September.
Mm-hmm.
It was because it was outside of the wall, because we were looking for other bays to spill out of. Now we've come down on spill, we're back inside the wall, it's a non-issue, but we're meeting with the project in September to talk about, you know, trolley pipe placement and anchoring for FY12. So.
Okay.
So let me get clear then. You've removed the debris that was loose, or the pipe
that
was loose?
No.
No, it's still there. Clearance.
Cleared off means that bay
is
not
available. It was loose.
Red tagged.
Clearance on.
Bay is no longer available.
You said cleared off.
Yeah, so we closed but that bay and just went to the next building.
It's just got a clearance on it until it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one
okay. Then we're back for next year, and the water's not going back up, I hope.
Why not?
What'd you say, Bob?
You know something I don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some reservoir.
We just cleared it out so the pipe didn't fall off the wall.
All right. And then 327 is the ROV inspection, TDA trash rack.
Oh, okay.
Bob.
So per fish passage plan, we were supposed to ROV unit 1, 8, and 18. That was kind of the new requirement. During the mid-season, however, with the flows the way they were, we weren't about to put an ROV in. With the issues that were happening at the time of day with their trash racks plugging up, we noticed a slightly elevated differentials on the trash racks at the Dalles, specifically unit 22. We kind of figured it was just a hydraulic issue and not a debris issue, but you know, in light of what was happening at John Day, we decided to rake anyways. We did. Everything came up clean. There was nothing on it.
At the Dalles. You raked
Dalles,
everything.
This is the Dalles.
On 29 June.
They didn't rake everything. They just raked 22.
Just raked 22, just to make sure, because that was the one that was showing the most elevated differential. But being that it's the first one along the firehouse that flow encounters, it leaves kind of an eddy up front, so we figured that had something to do with that, because it's always a little bit higher anyways than that one. So it went to 1.1. So it never exceeded the differential criteria. But just as a precautionary thing, we raked anyways just to make sure it was good.
What'd you get off of it?
Nothing. One stick.
Do you do drawdowns once a week? Is that what you guys measure?
Once a week.
Does the fish office do that or ops do it?
We do that.
Oh, okay.
Fish, yeah.
All right.
However, John Day, they're doing them every day. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Or more.
Okay.
So how low a flow do you need?
Flow.
One says you need lower velocities or flows to safely run the ROV.
Don't really know for sure. I mean, normally when we do the ROVs, it's March, so we're considerably lower flows.
No spill.
It's more of just an
shut the
eyeball
units off. Jason.
Yeah, I mean, we have to shut units down to do it. Okay. But we pretty much eyeball the four bay and fix
ripping across powerhouse like it was, we So, since we're pretty much past our mid-season inspection, we did the raking, I'm assuming that we are okay not getting an ROV until the annual inspection on the trash run.
Physically can't do it because it's closed.
Still, yeah, we're still pretty high.
What are we going to say?
You got any issues with this? No ROV inspection until annual?
What I'm saying is by the time that they're dropping fast now.
Unless, with a caveat
might
here?
Be good in, I don't know, 3 weeks. Is that, do we bother doing it then?
If you're going to continue to rake and check?
We'll check differentials and rake if necessary.
You're not going to get anything now. It's not going to change.
No.
Tumbleweeds. It's only if there's something out there, some stuff that's already out there that you're not seeing much of a differential from, which can't happen. Yeah. So,
then you're throwing the ROV in there. I mean, if you have that issue, you're going to throw the ROV in there anyway.
Risk. Sorry.
Is that your terminology?
I'm trying to talk and this at the same time. It doesn't work. Sorry.
Well, the only thing they could do is they could schedule something. I mean, depending on once spill's done, then flows are low enough to where you could do a rolling outage down the powerhouse to do an ROV, but you'd have to do that preseason anyway.
Yeah.
So
your next inspection would be when?
March, just before season. We check all the trash routes.
Yeah, okay. Well, be good to have.
Our differentials drop considerably since the high flows.
Yeah,
so we're looking remember
here,
as far as differentials go.
These guys talk about high loads of tumbleweeds, and tumbleweeds don't give us high differentials, so you don't really know what you have out there unless you look
or rake
on those sort of things. Or rake, right, one way or
either. Well, the only thing, I mean, you could go back to the project. I mean, just because we've had a lot of debris transfer from John Day down, I mean, even though it's a parallel powerhouse, we do get kelp passage there in, you know, November, December time frame. I mean, it starts, so, I don't, I mean.
Yeah, I guess
do an ROV when you can. Do an ROV inspection earlier, before March.
Not much for juvenile passage, but there is still some. I guess I'd recommend when you can do an ROV, do it.
1/8
and 18,
like original.
Yeah.
Check the worst.
Yeah. See what you got. That's not that hard to do. You're not raking. You don't have to get all the riggers out and all the stuff. So I think I just as a cautionary, a year like we've had.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a debris year. Yes, I know. Dennis has a good point for later in the season. Most of them go through.
Make sure I get that in the notes.
And then
Dennis had a good point.
He wants his gold star for the day. Dennis has a good point.
Do you have any stars?
Yeah. Gary just gave Dennis a gold star.
The forehead. Yes.
Thank you.
So, that the rest
golden
of the day.
Child.
Something to push on.
All right, Bob, you got that covered. You're going to do it when you can.
Yes. One follow-up.
Thinking
upriver, McNair, we had a problem with a bunch of debris on your trash racks and lamprey problems. Are you guys envisioning doing an ROV or a trash rake, sample rake, earlier than waiting to like as late as we did last year?
I'll bring it to the project to do that. That's a good point.
I don't want to get regular cold this year. Like, hey,
you're going to get a star, too.
I don't want to either.
I don't know. No. Gary's fresh out of stars.
I've got a couple of stars.
I owe you for a star.
I'll bring that to my Gary.
That'd be great. That's good. Just because I know. We had a problem last year.
It was a problem last year. A terrible problem.
Get on that, would you?
Yeah. Terrible.
Jumping.
Get on it. All right, let's move to our next favorite topic, zinc.
Yes.
Bernard?
Yes.
Bernard.
Zinc's a good topic, Bob.
I've got to go for lunch, so...
Here he is.
Oh, wait a minute. Who do you think you are, anyway?
It's 12:30 in Idaho.
You ran out of crackers. Yeah, what happened to the crackers?
Yeah, you were eating.
He needs zinc in his diet.
I was having crackers, yes.
That was actually, fun.
Yeah, Sharon and I are taking our dog for a walk during lunch.
Okay, well, you can do that after we get through with zinc.
So I want to make a comment about who's going to be out.
Do you, you want to, you're just...
Is there a need to call back in about an hour, or are we going to be done at 10 o'clock?
We'll probably be done. I hope to be done.
You don't want to miss 9.1. That's probably the most important item.
9.1, yeah.
You've got about 10 more minutes, and I need to go send an email off.
Okay. Well, no, you're good, Russ. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Have a good day, Russ.
See you later.
All right.
Bye. 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 Doggy bags.
Bob, do you... You got copies of this?
Yes, I do. And there was I put a correction on them on one of the numbers because it was a little off. But I only have 8 copies, so those who are interested in zinc, I know they're...
It's quite shocking. Have you heard? Did he talk to you about this yet?
Okay, so you might remember that the plan was we would install zinc grating last winter. Junction pool and lower east ladder in the east entrance, and we accomplished most of that. And then part of the agreement was we would go in and see if we actually see elevated zinc levels, and we did. The one number that I changed on there, that's actually below, that is 0.0085, so that is below.
That's even below the 4-bay.
Yeah, that's even below the 4-bay.
That's a little scary.
And so your 4-bay background was a little elevated.
Debris.
Beyond the normal.
Blame it on debris.
Like, what is that?
From the aluminum plant.
Sunscreen?
Yeah. Hey, what's putting zinc in?
All those windsurfers and kiteboarders, yeah. Man.
So
really? That's it. Bob with the spray off sunscreen.
All the fencing material.
Well, I guess they're cutting down on that. Okay, so the one elevated 0.037, that was in the junction pool, so that's above our perceived threshold of 0.026. So we're going to go in, do another set of samples. He's going to do them here this next week to confirm that we're seeing something. And then we have to decide where to go from there. But we were right in the middle of purchasing a bunch of grading for the remainder of the ladder just to finish the fishway. And so, and it just so happened these numbers came in the exact same day we put in the purchase request. So we put a hold on the purchase request, and we're waiting on whether or not we can actually proceed or not. I did talk to... one of the grading guys that's involved with the John Day North grading, and they're putting the powder coated grading in there, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So
do that.
We can do that with the new stuff that we can purchase, but however, we still have some more that we did not get to last year that's sitting on the deck. That's the old inventory. That is the old zinc galvanized, but we can't powder coat that. It's too late. It has to be right after the...
Let's refresh.
Zinc dip it, I guess. So, we're at a decision point where, so what do we do from here?
So, the measurements you got from these grades, were these the grades that sat on the deck for a year, or were these
the ones that have been sitting on deck for like 5 years?
Several years, yeah. It's not like they're...
These are the ones Randy Bailey bought.
They're well pickled.
I was hoping they would...
So, this is freshly pickled. This is just one sample, or is this over
this
several...
One sample, one set.
Can you give them three next time? Like triplicates at each site? I mean, that result's so odd. Does anybody else think it's odd?
I have a feeling.
Seem odd.
So it makes sense to try to get.
Recalibrate and take multiple.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's, I agree with that.
And then.
I mean, they're cheap enough, so. Okay.
Let's make sure we're not knee jerking.
If the 4-bay wasn't so high, I would.
That makes you wonder, doesn't
less
it?
Worry about the, yeah, within 0.01 of the 4-bay.
Almost half of the threshold right there, just in the 4-bay alone. I think so, Bob was using sunscreen the day
he ran a car into anyway where the sample island is. Yeah.
And who's taking these samples? The
our environmental guy at the project. Yeah.
Can we does Bonneville have these the same equipment, or can we do double sample and see if there's a comparison?
Yeah, we just send them in.
Oh, you just take the water sample and send it to the lab?
Blind.
As sunscreen's dripping off his face.
Yeah, drip.
I wonder if that's a problem. Probably not.
It's hot out here.
On the cork, yeah.
Next.
All right, more samples coming.
So, screen.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question, so then we wait for this next set of samples, but we're talking a month, we're going to miss our window to buy.
Well, you as soon as you get it, you send it out, and then...
Well, you could have the guy just, why don't you have him do a sample earlier?
Yeah, like do a sample.
Instead of doing your sample in a month, do it next week.
No, he's going to do them next week. It takes a month.
It takes a month to get the test back.
A month?
No, I would say powder coat. Powder coat.
I hand his powder
exists.
Coat.
Any new stuff.
I mean, you can look at it. You can just powder coat.
Yes. You guys aren't. Can we powder coat?
Powder
just plan on powder coating and.
Plan on powder coating, okay.
And we'll deal with the existing.
More money because it's
yeah, because you're still zinc.
I'll be just taking it from Walla Walla anyway. So.
I just gave you money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Took my money.
Yeah.
Now, powder coat the new stuff.
The powder coating is
could you
over zinc or over steel?
Over zinc.
It's over the zinc, so it's already been zinc, so I'll powder coat that. Another question, could you plan to powder coat, get your sample? I mean, are they going to powder coat?
Oh, would
could you plan to powder coat, get your sample back, and find out, oh, you're well under, it's not actually a problem, and then say, hey, by the way, don't powder coat. Plan to powder coat.
Talk to the vendor.
Maybe.
Talk to the vendor, because he's going to take a while to powder coat.
Yeah.
That might be able to say so.
Could make them, fabricate them first. So.
Yeah. Take one until he hears that plan. But I get paid more if I do it quickly. Damn it!
I'm going to move on now.
One question on that, though. Do we know for sure powder coating is like that?
Well, it's what it comes down to is sort of like coating a medicine tablet for limited... controlled release is that that powder coating will come off, it will wear out, and it'll expose zinc, but it isn't all at once. It exposes over time. So instead of having a full concentration of zinc, you have a progressive concentration of zinc. And once the powder coating is all off, you got fully exposed zinc, but by that time, some of your zinc's probably got down to steel too, so that's gone. I mean,
so we know it's a slow release.
It's a slow release mechanism. It's more of a slow release. This is not.
I'll be retired again.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, because I'm doing this crap.
I would just powder coat him, planning to powder coat him.
That's what they said. Buried all the stuff in Bonneville.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll be dead when they find that crap.
What was that?
Huh?
You know?
No, I don't know.
I thought you found something.
No, I mean that was Bonneville.
Just come back and
dump.
Zinc, paint the zinc.
Dump transformers.
Yeah. Zinc was nice.
I thought you were referring to something I did out there.
All right, I am now going to move to the next one, which we already talked about. We already talked about that one, so I can cross it out.
We shall be not spoken.
The John Day Count Station Pickets Trapped Adults Smart Knitting Yada Yada.
Just pulling your leg.
So. Okay. I mean, there's nothing to talk about there.
Okay.
But before we have lunch break, we'll talk about the John Day Gatewell debris issues. Gary?
Well, what I'd like to do is have a...
slap.
An accounting of how many fish actually died.
Slap with you? I got the 2x4 all back.
2x4? Accounting of how many fish actually died.
Yeah, what do we have a...
Multiple.
I have, like I said earlier, hundreds of emails I haven't read yet. So
okay. Well, I can only give you my update, which is I wasn't here when I got back. MFR has gone out. It's in your box.
It is. Okay.
And there's the commander's ordered an investigation, and that has not been completed, but should be done soon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I guess I leave it to you guys now to update the rest because I wasn't here.
Yeah,
I mean,
I wasn't either.
Well, Brad was involved in the MFR creation with the vision. So you
what's the question? What are the numbers?
I'm wondering have a full accounting of mortality from the event in terms of numbers of fish that were seen dead, that were thought to be dead. I didn't see it.
Just what's in the MFR were the only numbers.
Yeah,
how accurate it is.
Is that accurate? Is that just what you saw and...
Which yeah, no. time of them,
some of us watch it, you know, I mean, it was estimating, you're looking down Four Bay or whatever, and yeah, well, it looks like about 62 fish.
Yeah, it's a question for Miro, because I don't know if they actually picked through all the debris. And
they did not. They did not. There was something about, as they were scooping debris, that they were not able to...
They noted there was fish, that was about
it. What about the sampler? Did anything show up at the facility?
Yes, and that's added? In the MFR, yes.
Okay. Okay, so you have everything that you know about accounted for. And that MFR came out sometime, I missed it.
Last week.
Oh, last week.
The final did, yeah.
Updated. A week before.
I've been back 2 weeks ago. Yep. Right, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
2 weeks ago. And then there's been...
I just wanted to make sure we had a good accounting of what happened.
Right. No, and since that, there's daily inspection reports sent to the district from the OPM to our ops chief to actually all the way up to the executive office from John Day. I mean, they're on it. And okay. We understand that it was a terrible, you know, mistake and needs to be corrected.
And
so.
It was all the documentation of what happened is in that MFR? Yeah. Okay, I just need to dig through it.
As far as the colonel's inspection, I don't know what that's going to say.
Yeah. I just want to know what happened exactly, what the chain of events were.
And there was another one since that year where that actually two incidences.
Another?
Last week.
Yes. At John Day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So unit
that's
one.
That's on the screen.
Unit one, slot 1C. The screen was totally blown off.
Oh, I know about that.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about a gatewell debris issue. Mm-hmm. This was because probably the trash rack is maybe sprung or a chunk of it's not attached properly.
So
anyway.
Not able to rake it. So it's.
Debris getting through.
It's just pile of debris came through with buff screen. So they put the new screen in there, or the spare screen in there, and they're now video inspecting. They video inspected twice last week. They're going to do twice this week to make sure that this debris doesn't tear up the next one.
Are they doing the trash rack or are they doing the gatewell? Who are they video inspecting?
Trash rack.
They video inspect
the screen. The screen itself.
Yeah.
There it is. No, it's
UBS and everything. What's that?
You have two different slots you talked about. 1C, they had the blown out STS. And then the other one is tan with the one that Gary was talking about.
Yeah, the one Gary was talking about, I think that was unit 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was unit 2. That was a whole.
It was that issue. Was because the STS, you had an STS stored in there, which people couldn't really see it very well, which led to part of the problem.
Uh-oh.
I've only heard about this. I haven't read about this.
That's
so it's all stuff that Burn. Told me and others have told me, but I haven't seen the details. Enough of the one about the debris issue and the plugged orifice and all that. I understand that. The other one with the STS, is there any way that you guys can, at John Day, monitor those STSs without having to get video in? And what comes to mind is looking at the amp meters and seeing if you're getting increased loads.
But it's not a reliable way. If all the screen rips right off,
you're not going to know it. In fact, the amps go down probably because there's less pull.
Or I don't care if the screen is there or not. But there is that actually is another part of the picture too, because the STS monitoring system that they have for the it's actually not amps, it's watts. And I don't know why the hell they go watts.
Yeah, that's
but anyway.
Okay. Still load.
But I've asked them to look into some kind of alarm system, something that tells us when something is going wrong with the STSs or if an orifice is closed when a unit is running or something, because that's not there. There should be like an audible, visible alarm.
Right.
What we have, what's in the small facility right now is just a monitor that goes into power save mode so nobody's seeing it. Something could be going for quite a while before they actually go over there and shake it. Oh, you know, when they find out orifice is closed or something. So I've asked them to fix that.
That's good.
Oh, we can't do that. He
can't do that?
Did they go back?
He had a 14-year-old in here, and he'll fix it. So,
10-year-old, actually. As you say, did they go back and look at their wattage data on the motor to see if they noticed a change when the screen, because they know roughly when it ripped off.
Probably not recording.
Yeah, well, the problem is they're not recording.
Yeah, it's just the dial.
It's just real time.
Analog. Just analog dial, at least the Bonneville. It's an analog dial.
Yeah, well, that's going to be tough to...
So anyways, the plan from here forward is to check that screen at least once weekly instead of the once monthly until they can get that trash rack clean. And the plan to clean the trash rack was when the flows drop sufficient enough to get divers down and do the repair, and they're thinking
August,
September, I think is what they were thinking.
John Day's got a
unit one
automatic.
And so Vern, one thing to add to the notes is unit two, one thing we want to talk about the FPP is proper areas to store STSs, and maybe a unit that is high debris load is not an ideal one to store extra STSs.
Because you couldn't see the surface.
Right.
Oh, geez.
Covering it.
That was part of the reason that two was so problematic.
Couldn't see it.
So long because they were storing STS in it. So maybe we don't want to store STSs in units that we know have debris issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah, skeleton bays, I'm not sure.
That's...
I'm not saying where you could do
there's it. There's only one.
Well, really good idea, but...
I know ESBSs are in.
There's only one spare.
One spare set. The spare set, isn't it? Three?
It's 49 screens.
Yep.
One spare.
And I'm working on it. I'm working on trying to get screens. I've been doing it since I started this job.
I don't think you're ever going to put those in.
Yeah, because we're not going to ESBSs.
No. As long as, you know, trying to come up with a betterment so I can get...
Gary, is there a reason we're holding on to ESBSs at John Day?
No.
You can't get them out.
No. I mean, we've given up on that a long time ago.
Isn't there a big
scrap metal?
They're stuck. I don't know anything on that, Brad. Mike Renzi last time when we talked, he was saying just a little bit, hold on a little bit long until we get the performance testing on the way.
I think so.
Yeah, I guess I do remember that discussion.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
It was an alternative in our cutoff, and it was up there on the.
That's why the. The ties are hanging
that would
out.
Be like trying to pull.
The ties are rotting in place as well.
Anesthesia to get that done. But.
Well. We want to go through our performance tests first, just in case.
Even if we weren't in performance, I don't think anybody's going to vote for putting SBSs in.
Or ties.
I'll let Brad fight that.
Why would you just pull out from the boneyard? Anyway, just give yourself some storage for SBSs.
We're on to work for him for 6 hours.
Oh, that's not that easy. Disassemble.
Underwater.
Disassembly.
Torching.
Yeah, it's big time to move them.
Oh, because that's right, because you guys aren't set up for them, so you had to
jack them out. Because there is that big deal about having just even to move them and install them and having to lay them down and all
that. Yeah, that was...
Where are they now? They're in the boneyard?
No, they're in skeleton.
That would have been nice.
They're stuck in skeleton days. Forever.
Until
you cut them out.
Well, we're not doing any damage.
Just leaving there then,
Yeah, it's kind of...
You just put an STS in one of the skeleton.
Wait, are they taking up space that you'd use for STS storage?
If you only have STS...
Originally, that's
why
Project wanted them out, so
they'd
have more room.
I just didn't know if they had deck plates and everything was the same on each of the four bays or not.
Yeah. So maybe we'll talk about this when we redo FPPs this end of year.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think about how we can better get a... I mean, one thing is looking to see debris, but there's also... I don't know, does John Day have automatic backflushing like Bonneville does?
Just cycling the orifices.
But that's automatic. Is there an air flush? No air flush or an air flush? There should be. There isn't. Okay.
We need to actually, on that note, too.
I can't walk the gallery.
There was another slight.
You got scuba tank on.
Gatewell issue again. They found there was a. They noticed 10 warts in one of the gatewells. 10 subyearing warts, and so then they went and checked, and sure enough, that orifice was closed.
Jesus.
And so they had an operator put on it and open it, and they're not sure why the hell it closed, but they're on it.
I can't. That's hard to believe. After we killed that diver 20 years ago, and we still don't know when those orifices are closed.
Well, no, you can tell if they're open or closed, but automatically cycles. They have a setup so it automatically cycles. Well,
it didn't.
Went through and did a full cycle on 12B, and it closed it, didn't open it, and. We didn't notice it for a while.
Well, you get our stems come loose too out there. Yeah.
Because that was another push when I'm talking about we need an alarm, you know. So it's like when the units run and orifice closed, there should be.
How do you know the orifice is closed?
How did we know?
How do you know? What if the stem comes loose as it has in the past?
That we don't know.
And you got an orifice closed and you don't know about it until you see dead fish.
That we don't know.
So there's a way to tell if you have an orifice closed that doesn't rely on the stem. That's even one step better. I know, but I don't know.
The stem is operating normal.
Yeah. I don't know how you would do that, but I mean, I'd have to look at it. But I mean, that's what I would try to strive for, something that could...
They actually have it on the gate itself, not on the stem.
Gate itself and not on the stem. Mm-hmm. So you know if you have some indicator on there, because we've had that problem. If you're going to really get at the problem, that's there's probably several different issues there. What are you doing?
I'll be back. I just got to send an email by noon, otherwise I end up at Creek.
Oh. You need to send it from...
In your office. It's on power save mode.
No, I got to make sure that
it's... It's got to come from your office.
Yeah, that's...
Well, we're going to take a little break anyway.
Lunchtime.
Call Ace.
Yeah.
Call Ace. Good luck.
All right. Well, let's take a break till about, what do you need, Tom? Half hour?
If that.
Okay. Till 12:15.
All right.
And we'll come back and wrap it.
12:15.
How much time do you think?
I could probably burn through it in less than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I think. You asked me what I think.
I know what you think.
How much do you think?
What do you think? I'm thinking that we need more. We need to have a separate discussion meeting on debris and high flow conditions like we had this year. We got caught in John Day. We got caught in Bonneville.
Up and down the river.
And maybe a small amount at the Dalles, but certainly at those two projects with some real problems and the screens that you had in Bonneville. So. And I know that Richie's been pushing for some high